Here we go again.
It's time to talk.
I thought it was April Fool's Day when I heard that one. Get me off the air before I have a heart attack. We will have nothing to see for it. There's been many false dawns.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
The kindness of Cork people will never let you down.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversations, guys. Text 086-8104-106. The Neil Prendeville Show with Mercedes-Benz Cork. Now, as I mentioned, the papers love weather-related stories, and that's why the Mirror this morning says, weekend sizzler, 23 degrees. I hope that they're right, because they're not the only one talking up 23 degrees. So is the Star. But these days, the Mirror and the Star are pretty much the same newspapers. But bake the most of 23 degrees heat, sunny outlook for the weekend. Bring it on. That's all I can say. Bring it on. Anyway, Bambi Thug. McCroom is into the finals of the Eurovision. Who'd have thunk it? But there it is. Nonetheless, Bambi Thug stormed into the Eurovision finals after a scintillating semi-final performance. Which You Believe It is a headline making the Mirror today. Bambi Thug is through to the final of Eurovision. And now, Croatia is still the odds-on favourite at 11-8, but 9-1 now on Bambi Thug winning Eurovision. And, you know, these are... You know, bets, they're kind of like a guessing game, really. It's about the voting. You can never tell how countries will go or how individual people voting will actually go. So there still is a very good chance of McCroom winning the Eurovision Song Contest outright. So the papers this morning have headlines like Doomsday Woohoos, Bambi off to the final, and they wow with a serious routine. And there's many, many photographs of just incredible costuming and stage presence and pyrotechnics and unbelievable choreography. I've seen the performance myself, and it certainly is bewitching. Crown the Witch is the big scream that's going on these days. Now, The Witch worked a charm last night. Bambi Thug landing Ireland a place in the finals. Bambi is first credible contender in a decade to come out of Ireland and, of course, came out of the county of Cork. What can I say? Papers this morning say Bambi gave it their all, securing a place in the final. The Examiner says Bambi casts their spell over Eurovision, securing that place. And there's some great colour photography. Like, all of the newspapers give it full-on color, because that's the only thing you can use really for a performance, you know, or a stage presence like that. It has to be in color, vivid colors, to show the scale of it all. It's a great photograph on the front of the Examiner, Bambi performing Doomsday Blues at the Eurovision semi, and the entire cast around her. There's a guy, I think he's the chap with the horn on his head. There have been some people talking about satanic rituals and the pentangle and things like that. But by and large, everybody is very much up for the final. Bring it on. The scintillating performance last night gets us a place in the final. Marty Whelan couldn't contain his delight, according to the Star, when Ireland was named as one of the finalists. Yes, he screamed, we're through at last. And it's been worth the wait. Now, some audio in a little while with regards to that one. But there is an interesting one making the Examiner online this morning. And it was the European Broadcasting Union yesterday asked Bambi Thug to change some markings that were displayed on their face and legs during the performance. Now, these were pro-Palestinian markings written in Oum, ancient Irish script with the ancient Irish alphabet. But the markings written in Oum would translate to ceasefire and Saoirse Dun Phalaistín, as in freedom for Palestine. So this was an interesting twist on the story, because apparently the artist revealed that the three markings instead, and in the performance, read Crown the Witch. But at the press conference, apparently they said, unfortunately, I had to change those messages today to Crown the Witch, which was an order from the European Broadcasting Union. They want to keep this as calm, as non-political as they can, I suppose. Although I believe there were protests and there were some rallies around the semi-finals last night. So that's an interesting one, isn't it? In other news this morning, awfully tragic news over the weekend, where the news broke of the death of Meg Haw, the 26-year-old Ballantemple girl who collapsed. She was taking part in an activity in the Philippines. The activity was where people would walk and then they would swim and they would abseil through canyons and waterfalls and streams. What a wonderful adventure she was on. And sadly, she died away. She passed away and died. She was more than halfway through one part of the 3-hour activity and began to struggle with chest pains and breathing. Now, there was fellow doctors there, and she being a doctor herself, sadly, they couldn't get a signal to contact medics, and she was pronounced dead when she was brought to hospital. So tributes have been paid to the Irish doctor, Cork girl, Megan Haugh, and our thoughts are with all of the family. And that story makes this morning's Mail today. And then other stories relating to people who lose their lives. This is a triple murderer. Like, this is bad, bad news. A fellow called Andy Cash. He was given 3 separate life sentences for the savage killing of his siblings. Makes a lot of the red tops today. His mother has said, on the day that all of the children died, that was the day that the world stopped turning. That's what Mum Margaret Cash had to say about it. And this 26-year-old murdered Lisa Cash, age 18, and 8-year-old twins Christy and Chelsea Cawley at their family home in 2022, and got 3 life terms for these killings. The papers then go chapter and verse into RTE and the chaos within RTE. And always remember that still looking down the barrel of all of this is a 40 million euro bailout for RTE. An organization that can't wash its own face is just filled with absolute chaos. No personal consequences for people who step out of line in any way, shape or form, and massive golden handshakes. You take 2 of them in particular, Rory Coveney and Richard Collins, cost the taxpayer 700,000 in exit packages alone. So a culture of impunity within RTE, but we know that. But now we have more scathing reports with 116 recommendations that needs reform within the organization. Oh my God, almighty, if it was a private business, I'm telling you one thing, to be wound up in the morning. But there were forensic accountants went in, and according to the Mail and the inside pages this morning, this barter account that I was telling you about, like, it had 750,000 that was sloshing around in it that nobody claimed to know anything about. And then, of course, there was parts and aspects of a barter account that was lost during an office move. Paperwork lost during an office move. But what we do know is the 700 grand for these exit payments. We know all sorts of secrecy around them. And then, of course, to put it mildly, inadequate record keeping and fictitious accounting transactions. I'll tell you more about the fictitious accounting transactions in a moment, but they looked at the payments to Ryan Tuberty that had absolutely no basis at all, that all of this money paid to Ryan Tuberty should have gone through a barter account. And at the same time, of course, many people are continuing to withhold their license fee payment of 160 euro. But of course, all that will change when the revenue get to collect the license fee. And I'll tell you, they will collect. But the 150 grand that went through the barter account had no valid payments, and the Red Tops pick up on that this morning, and they also talk about the different payments that kind of directly and indirectly are related to Ryan Tuberty. One is the 44 grand for the Renault events. You know that they were classified as audience reach. They were called audience reach. What in the name of God is audience reach? It was for the Renault events. But the company that went in, the Mazar company that went in, to forensically look at RT, so there was no, it wasn't consistent with the basis of how he would make a payment like that. But that wasn't the only one, actually, because there were 2 payments of 75 grand which were paid to Ryan Tuberty that were described as consultancy fees and listed as promotion costs within the RT accounts. Like, you can't be doing that. I don't know what revenue you have to say about it. You just can't be doing that. There was like 8,000 euro that was related to the spending on office purchases. Now, what's that? That's just vague. It's just vague. 5.5 grand spent on membership of Soho House, an exclusive club in London, for 4 years. This is what your license fee is going on now, lads. 25 grand on client entertainment for a Jenny Green concert at the 3 Arena. What would they spend 25 grand on at a gig? Like, what were they eating? What were they drinking? What were they doing? Golf events, things like that, society events, rugby legends dinners, and stuff like that. So it goes on and on. And meanwhile, in another broadcast-related story, the broadcaster Paul Byrne and Virgin Media are in dispute, and I spoke about this some weeks ago. There's an update to this now, because both sides have now agreed, and the judge recommended this a few weeks ago, that they try and mediate to come to some kind of a successful conclusion or a successful outcome. The whole issue arose because Paul Byrne is now suing Virgin seeking injunctions because he says the internal disciplinary process against him is flawed. The story has to do with Paul Byrne suspended from his role. There was a live report, I'm reading from the Echo copy this morning. It was February the 9th. It was the afternoon broadcast on the news on February the 9th concerning the death of a young boy in County Waterford. And Paul Byrne had stated that one line of inquiry being considered by Gardaí as part of the investigation into the child's death was that the boy had been allegedly drowned and placed in a car. Now, he did all of his checking. It was published for want of a better term, broadcast on Virgin. Two other publications actually carried the same story. There was at least two credible sources, and two other media outlets published the same information. Later, the information turned out not to be true, and that's why we find ourselves where we're at now, or at least Paul Byrne finds himself where we're at now. But and clearly, obviously, this is one side of the story, and I know that because we haven't heard from Virgin that it didn't get to that in court. They're going to mediate instead. But the one thing that I just can't help but think that all of us in life make mistakes, and certainly within broadcasting or journalism in general, mistakes are made and apologies are made. But one thing is for sure, the journalism and reporting is always a moving, changing story landscape, I can tell you that. And one would expect to have the support of your bosses when mistakes are made, bearing in mind the years of service and reporting that, say, for instance, the likes of Paul Byrne has done on Leaside, indeed, in Munster. But this is where we're at. It's far from a conclusion, and I hope to God that they do manage to mediate and work that one out, because it's very, very unfortunate. I've been accused of being quite one-sided with regards to a condemnation of Israel. I would have no problem at all standing over condemnation of one country that goes in and over the border into somebody else's country. I don't know how anybody could say that you could you could back that up in any way, shape or form, particularly when you have innocent families being shot or blown up or starved. I'm not taking at all from the events in October with regards to Hamas and the killing of Israelis, but the response has got to be proportionate, right? And the Star this morning talks about Gaza running out of food. What's happened now is because the Israelis have got down to Rafah. There's a border crossing, obviously, into Egypt that they have now taken control of and pretty much closed now, which means that food aid and medical aid just can't get through. How can anybody stand over any of that? And the papers also then talk today. Whistleblowers are never too far from blowing whistles. The latest one, according to the Mail today, is a whistleblowing dentist who says that dentists, not all, but at least some of them that this whistleblower knows about, are allegedly carrying out unnecessary procedures and overcharging their clients and doing work that isn't necessarily needed. To the point of unnecessary dental and cosmetic procedures being carried out to maximize the fee per hour cost. And it doesn't have the best patient practice in mind. And then, you remember Jaws, in one part of Jaws, the first Jaws, like Jaws 1, where some kids put on a plastic fin or a rubber fin and they caused chaos on the water because people thought it was the real Jaws. And well, there's a story not dissimilar to that making the Sun today. It's an English story where somebody, well, what happened was people saw what they thought was a crocodile lurking in a small, near a small village in the river, and there was a bit of a panic went on because they thought it was a reptile swimming in flood water. There was a lot of flood water, so it was actually like a pond area made by the burst banks. So the long arm of the law had to get involved in this one, and they got to the scene. They thought it was a man-eating crocodile, but it turned out instead to be just the plastic head of a crocodile that was placed on the pond as a joke. I mean, you know, we hear of people acting the fool with massive potholes. So this is kind of like a cousin of that kind of a story. So would you dial, as in D-I-L-E, would you croc-a-dial 999 for that one? Boom, boom. But one thing that you will see across the summer is lots of dolphins. If you're anywhere lucky enough down around West Cork or Kerry up the West Coast, you probably will see from time to time minke whales. And there's a very good chance if you're heading west over the summer that you will see basking sharks. So there's a lovely story making the Star today where dolphins are putting on a flipping good show. And all of this, I hope, is weather related. Anyway, text 0868104106. Back after the break, and of course, Bambi Thug, the talk of the country and the talk of Macroom.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
And so, McCroom storms into the Eurovision final. The audio that I have for you is noisy audio because there was a lot of people screaming and roaring and being part of the performances last night. And of course, the big chant that's going on now is Crown the Witch. So, here, I mean, here's about 20, maybe 30 seconds of the final part of the performance. That's just amazing. And then, of course, we had the wait to see if Ireland goes into the final.
It's Ireland!
Yes! Yes! At last! Belgium, wait, make us wait! Oh, that's fantastic! Oh, that's fantastic!
And he one of the greatest commentators ever. He really and truly is, the great Marty Whelan, getting so excited about it all. He's not the only one getting so excited, though. I want to talk to Paul Mack, Bambi Thug's stylist. You'll know of him, the barber and designer, renowned for the various headpieces and fashion creative pieces that Bambi has been wearing for the past 12 months or so, certainly since they came on my radar. But enough of me. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
How
are
you feeling? Absolutely delighted, I'd say.
Unreal, buzzing all together. You know, great for Ireland, great for Cork. You know, excellent performance. It definitely seemed to go down as performance tonight, judging by the crowd reaction.
Yeah, I can have all of the rehearsals in the world. You can have all of the previews in the world, but you gotta make it work on the night. There didn't seem to be any nervousness or anything like that. No stage fright, nothing. Just nailed it.
I know, sure, Bambi's born for that kind of performance. It was definitely elevated from the Euro song, you know, going back, when was that, a month or two ago. So the production, everything was huge and, like, very slick performance. And, yeah, I think the kind of crowd's reaction said it all.
They love it, though. It's made for Eurovision, is it? I mean, talk to me about your nerves while watching it, because you have skin in the game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, obviously, but you need unique selling points, and what we were sending in the past wasn't working. So, like, it's very kind of out there, and, like, you know, it's Marmite. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but, like, I think the European audience are going to love it and have been loving it. And from the, you know, there was, like, a pre-European kind of tour around with other finalists, and, like, Bambi was always kind of one of the favourite acts on the night. And I don't know what the bookies odds are gone up since this morning, but they were gone up to fifth even before last night's performance.
I just think that it could be Ireland, or should I say McCroom, Croatia or Ukraine. Am I mad?
Yeah, I think it's looking that way.
I think anyway, and I wouldn't be a huge Eurovision fountain of knowledge, but that's my reading of it. Because, like, the reaction is incredible right across Europe. I mean, even watching this morning, Dutch reporters saying that this is the scariest Eurovision performance ever. And that's what you got to do.
That's a bit far. Like, did you not see Lordy there a few years ago, who won it, who were dressed as, like, big, huge monsters, like, you know?
No, I mean, I think that's a Dutch compliment.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Yeah.
Do you know if there was a? Because you're not there. You got a lot going on, obviously. Never busier. But I think you're on new dad duties. I think, are you, Paul?
Yeah. So I've a 3-year-old, and we've a 2-month-old. So yeah, bit busy out and working away all the time. So it was a challenge. I made a new headpiece and a kind of chest piece for Bambi over that will be used for the kind of press shots over the next coming days. It's kind of too heavy and kind of awkward to actually wear live. You know, it's more like wearable art than something you'd wear jumping around the stage.
I know, yeah. So, it, like, you don't want something weighing you down. Obviously, you could end up just being worried if it falling off, and it could detract from the performance. But you 100%. Must be feeling that, because you've been front and center in the journey regarding image, right? That you really should be there. You know, I know you're on daddy duties, and that's where you want to be. But there's part of it.
You'll have to give my wife a shout and get me over to the final.
We get you a free pass. There's probably a direct Ryanair flight for
Bank. Yeah. Or deal have to break the bank and get me over.
Well, if you can get a free pass, right, I'd gladly pay your airfare, because there's gotta be a Ryanair direct to Malmo, surely, be to God.
Yeah, I think like Bambi's sister went out with the suitcase of my kind of latest work there now. I think she flew out, when was it, Monday morning. So there's flights, right? I think just to Copenhagen you have to go first, but I'm sure that's not too far.
I think you're kind of half thinking about it, Paul Mac.
Here, to be honest, I'd be getting mad notions, right? I was getting the fear of missing out there, and I was looking at the mad partying on Bambi stories last night.
Was there a late night celebration afterwards then, yeah?
Oh, I seen Bambi was crowd surfing there about 4 or 5 hours ago, somewhere over anyway. So yeah.
Enjoy every minute of it, that's what I would say. So do you want to put your wife on the phone there? No?
Oh, no. I don't know where. She's downstairs with the kids. She'd kill me.
if you want to put her on, I'll see if I convince her. If I can convince her for you. I'll give her a few tickets for the Marquee or something, or Musgrave Park. Dinner for two.
Yeah.
Candlelit dinner for two with wine if she lets you travel.
Be alright, wouldn't
it? Oh man, it's great news, it really and truly is. Listen, stay in touch, because you obviously should also be part of these celebrations, because you've been such an important part of the journey. So well done to you, Paul.
I'm proud to be a part of it, you know, like I've always been, you know, kind of black sheep myself, and proud to be from Cork, and like, so, and anything I can kind of do to help out, and I hope, like, from last night now, that people kind of get on board and start backing Bambi, because, you know, it has been fairly kind of divided, and people are, you know, kind of, but like, you don't have to understand everything to support it, you know, like, we're there now and could be worth millions to the Irish economy if we do win it. So, you know, whether it's everyone's cup of tea or not, people should still,
but like, that's,
like, Bambi's that, one of our own,
that's,
you know?
Music, like, music isn't everybody's cup of tea. You have your own particular styles and favourites and likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
That's what music is.
Yeah.
It's not all encompassing for all people. It has different varieties and styles. But like, this has been great for you, just finally, because it's been great exposure for you internationally. Vogue, Rolling Stone magazine, businesses flying, lots more people asking to buy your creations, right?
Yeah, I've had people approach me there now about commissions, because, like, especially since we did the front cover of Life magazine last weekend, and, like, randomly I had a new client in who read the magazine while on a business trip in Geneva. And he was, like, in then, like, the following week, and, like, I framed the magazine cover and I put it up on the wall, and he was like, that's the one I was reading. And I was like, wow, that's kind of random, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah, you're an artist, man, and you're one of the best of them, and fair play to you. Paul, great catching up. I hope we get a chance to talk about celebrations when Bambi Thug wins Eurovision. 100%. That will happen.
I backed Bambi a while back at 55-1, so I'm definitely hoping for that
You're
win.
You're the smart
for
one.
For many reasons.
And listen, if you do decide to fly, let me know, will you?
I will, of course.
All right, kid. Mind yourself. Take care for now.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Wonderful
bye.
Guy. Great guy. Really, barrel of laughs. Meanwhile, what's the vibe like in Macroom this morning, I wonder? Sophie, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you keeping?
I'd say I'm good. I'd say there wasn't a single soul on the streets of Macroom last night.
Oh, my God, no. I think everybody was inside watching the Eurovision now last night. I know I was anyway. I was glued to the TV last night.
Yeah, because you know the family, of course. I mean, I was chatting with a buddy of mine this morning who was also from Macroom. Mark Mullen knows the family as well. Everybody knows everybody else. I think, did you go through primary school with, not with Bambi, but someone in the family or something like that?
Yeah, so basically I went through all primary school with their cousin. And all through secondary school. So I basically kind of like just grew up with their cousin. So that's kind of how I knew Bambi. But like I also knew Bambi through my secondary school because they were only in a few years ahead of me as well.
Was Bambi in school always a bit out there? Always very flamboyant? Interesting costumes and style even then?
To be honest with you, Neil, I was very young at the time, so I could have been about maybe 5 or 6 years below them.
Oh, right, yeah.
So
yeah.
I was very young at the time, but from what I can remember, Bambi was very, very artistic, especially in the art room. Because I do recall my art teacher used to show us their work before, just as kind of examples on what they were looking for.
Okay.
For like whether it was for projects or for exams or anything like that. And I really do recall Bambi's work being one of them.
Yeah, well, certainly Europe has fallen under that spell for sure, as the papers put it this
100%.
Morning. A surreal spectacle, but quite nervous for people in Macroom last night, I would say. Hearts pounding, waiting for the result.
100%, because I knew for a fact that they were going to get through to the final. I knew it, but the fact that they let us wait until the ninth name to be called, that's what had everyone's hearts absolutely racing.
It doesn't mean that Bambi came ninth, though. That was just random,
no,
I think,
but
was
the
it?
Ninth, as in just, yeah, as in like ninth called, you know?
Okay, so if Bambi Thug wins Eurovision, that means that the Eurovision next year will be in Macroom. So have you guys got a hall big enough to do Eurovision, or will you have to go back to Mill Street for it, or what?
I really don't think we have a place here in Macroom, unfortunately. We don't even have a nightclub here in Macroom anymore.
Well, you better get building something then.
I'd say we'll have to try and do that, like maybe an open air performance, maybe back to Castle or something.
Oh my God! You could bring back the Mountain Dew Festival, but just do Eurovision on the grounds of the Castle. It will work.
Why not? We already have a Macroom Music Festival, so why not?
Well, let's win this thing first, shall we?
Yes, and I know for a fact that they will do Ireland so proud.
Well done, well done.
Whether
well
they
said.
Win or whether they lose, they're still a winner in our eyes.
I have great texts from people who were watching last night. I'll read them out in a few minutes' time. Great to catch up, Sophie. Talk to you on Monday morning, all right, after the final. Make sure you're available for me, will you?
Perfect, I will indeed.
Take care for now. All the best. Thank
bye
you, Sophie.
Neil.
Pat O'Neill has a bet down as well, apparently. Pat?
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Okay, so Paul Mack there has, has he 50 euro at, he's a bet down at something like 50 to 1 or 55 to 1. What? Did you do something similar?
Yes. No, I didn't. I'm going to tell you now, Neil. I can get himself and his wife to Copenhagen and Malmo on Friday for 95 euros for the two of them.
Return?
Yes. Do you want it?
So it's like 42 something return each.
They can be there for 10 o'clock Friday morning, back in Dublin for 12 o'clock Sunday, or they can be there at 3:30 on Friday and back into Dublin at 12:30 on Sunday.
Oh, I see. Because when I saw your name in 150 euro, I thought you'd put 150 euro bet down, but you said you...
No, I don't gamble, Neil.
Are you paying for the flights?
I will. Will you give me a couple of tickets to the market? You promise me that?
I will.
You also promised Tom Mack something for me, forgot me. But what harm, sure. No,
will
sure.
You take
we
that up with Tom me. McCarthy? He's in New York. He's in a different time zone.
He's not a different time zone. His bar was packed over you with all the free points.
So you can... I'll get,
I'll get him out of Dublin, fly them back Sunday to them.
Can you not get him out of Cork, man?
We didn't have to go through Stansted, and there's a 3-hour wait there. He's got kids now, Neil, remember that? The wife is the boss here for the weekend, Jeremy.
But how am I going to get him to Dublin?
Neil, come on. You've plenty of Neil, you've more contact than Specs Service. Come on.
So we need to get somebody. Hang on. I don't even know if he's up for this. Paul.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You go to Dublin and fly tomorrow with me, boy.
Hang on a second. Pat O'Neill here wants to chat with you. I don't know whether this will fly or not, or whether you'll fly or not. Go ahead.
Paul.
Yeah, how are you?
Will you go to Dublin on Friday morning and come back Sunday? I'll get you over there.
Come
on, listen, you only live once, boy. I'm not putting you under pressure now. You only live once.
You're not putting me under pressure. He's got a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old. You're not putting him under pressure.
That's okay. We can actually brew me over and brew me back, boy, like the witch.
That would be amazing. Thanks very much, BC. Also, in my barbershop, I've appointments fairly booked in Friday.
Yeah, well, we can always.
I'll get the baldy barber to do the day for you.
make me delighted.
Come on, Odas. Come on, you're representing Cork, no, by fair play, Torby, and I mean that.
Hang on a second. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot here, Paul, but Pat O'Neill will pay for the flights. I'll get the 2 of you to Dublin. We'll also work out whatever the hotel cost might be for the overnight. Don't worry about any of that. But I don't want to put you under pressure. If it can't happen, it can't happen.
Yeah. I'll have to discuss with the boss, but geez, thanks very much for the offer. That all sounds amazing, you know?
Okay. All right. Go and do that. Have a family conference, all right?
Unreal. Thanks very much, lads.
Cheers, guys. I'll be back to you. Take care. I'll be back to you, Pat.
You come back to me in that fight. You hear me, Brian?
You can send me on the money anyway if you want.
Well, I will send you on the money either way, Neil. I'm the man that can get the best flights. You know that, kid. You know me, Brian.
Go on.
Have I a bet on?
No. Have you noticed that Ryanair seem to be cancelling a lot of flights? I think I'm going to be talking to somebody who was actually supposed to be at Eurovision, and Ryanair went and changed the flight time. Is that happening a lot?
It is, because their shares are down by 7%, Neil, so the airfares now out of Cork from June are going to come down by about 10 or 12%.
Yeah, but why is that impacting on people having flight changes and flights cancelled and messing up their...
I think it's staff levels. I think he's struggling with staff as well, Neil, to be honest with you, you know.
Okay, so they can't...
They can't do. There's a Dublin on Friday morning, back Sunday for €47 each.
Okay, all right. I'll be back to you. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Sophie. Thank you, Paul. Back after the break, text 0868104106. It'd be nice if it could happen, but if not, I understand.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Just a fast big shout out. Mike Maloney, a Glanmar lad, got engaged to a Dublin girl, Julie Hayes, in Dublin at the weekend, above at the Herbert Park car show. Apparently there's a big show up there and they love their cars. He's a great guy. I want to congratulate Mike and indeed Julie. Mike is the nephew of the late great DJ Ted Dunn, and Ted's brother Pat got in touch with me yesterday, asked me to give him a shout out and wish them the best of luck together in their life together. So congratulations to Mike and to Julie on your engagement at the weekend. All the family are delighted for you both. Text 0868104106 and we'll do some of the texts regarding Eurovision. I think at this stage, there's an interesting line making one of the red tops this morning, saying, actually, if you want to know what the song is about, it's screaming a song about placing a hex or a curse on an ex. And it was Europe that fell under that spell last night after the surreal spectacle of witchcraft and ballet. I think that's a great way to sum up the performance. And of course, it may not be everybody's cup of tea. I think even Paul Mack described it as Marmite. And that's probably a good, accurate description. But could we please now just get behind it? You know, we need something to be cheering about and to get behind and to be jubilant about and to be hopeful of a win about. Because we're certainly, apart from the rugby, I suppose, we're not doing it in the hurling or the football. So might get behind it, guys, and just at least park whether you like it or dislike it and hope for a win. At least we're in the final for the first time in a long, long time. Now, Angela, good friend of this show, is no stranger to Eurovision. This is not her first rodeo. Angela, good morning.
Hi, Neil, how are you?
I'm good. We chatted last year when you were in Liverpool, isn't that right? You were looking for costumes and gear and stuff like that before you travelled. But are you off to Malmo?
We are. We're off to Malmo now on tomorrow. We were supposed to leave, our original plan was to leave Thursday morning and come back Sunday night so we'd get the second semi-final over there. But we got an email to say Ryanair just changed the times.
Here you go. So another example of them. And they're messing up everybody's plans.
Yeah, so we're not getting over there. Our flight isn't until 5 to 7 now into Copenhagen tomorrow evening. So we're not going to make it for the semi-final. We'll just about make it, I'd say, before midnight.
Ah, sure, that's heartbreaking, isn't it? Are your tickets for the second semi?
We didn't. That we actually got tickets in the end to the preview show before the final. So we're in the arena anyway on Saturday. So it's...
Are you telling me that there's actually two full productions on Saturday? A full preview and then the show itself?
Yeah, so they do a full show on Saturday and they'll actually go through a mock point system and everything and pick out a fake winner, but they do a full rundown of the show.
Why? Is that for cameras and things or what?
I'd imagine it's half a practice and it's half a chance to get more money, I'd imagine, to sell more tickets, and we get a chance to see it as well. So it's a fully sold out show again. And I think it was kind of more a family event at the start, but I'd say it's whoever gets the tickets now.
Yeah.
Gets to get in.
Yeah. So you missed the semi tomorrow night, but you have tickets for the Machia final.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah. We would have loved to have seen the second semi-final. There's a few I was looking forward to seeing in it. But I suppose we can just... What can you do?
Okay, just getting back to the whole Ryanair aspect here, just for a moment. So that change that they've done to the flight times, does that mean you have to pay more money?
No. So we had a choice of either getting a refund or cancelling completely. But if we cancelled completely, we were either going to pay a higher amount because they have no other flights. So they weren't giving additional flights at this stage or anything like that. So we were going to try and get to maybe a Danish airline or something like that.
You'd have got your money back, but replacing the flights would have cost you more. And do you get any compensation for the tickets or missing the event?
No, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Okay.
I didn't expect anything else.
Yeah. Well, it's just I'm hearing it an awful lot. Like, there's a chap here who's a pilot. He says, I'm a pilot. The reason why Ryanair are changing and cancelling flights is all to do with the slow acceptance of Boeing aircraft. Annoying for sure, but Ryanair, given their size, are like 3,600 flights per day, and these delays are impacting their network operation. I'm not quite sure, maybe you might come back and tell me what the pilot means by the slow acceptance of Boeing aircraft. What would that mean? Don't know. Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sure you clarified that. But anyway, I'm asking the pilot, yeah. Let's get back to your vision then. Were you excited last night? Were you nervous last night? Do you think that the...
I was very excited. I just think the hype around Bambi was amazing. I was fully sure we were getting through, so it was more excitement than nervousness. But then, as the previous caller said, you wait and you're down to like the last two places and you're going, oh my God, maybe we're just blindsided because we're Irish and we just think they're so amazing.
Oh, having to wait for 9th to be announced.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah.
Because I know when Jedward got through, they were 10th. They were the last people to get through on that night back in 2011 for Lipstick. And that was tough waiting.
That's a long time ago. So tell me this now. Who are the competition? Croatia, do you think?
Croatia are going to be heavy favourites. I quite enjoy Switzerland. I know they're up there in the top five as well. Switzerland, Ukraine are favourite. I particularly don't like the song.
I think Ukraine are the dark horse here as a sympathy vote. Yeah. And, you know, there's always a lot of politics. So. Isn't there always a lot of politics in Eurovision voting, isn't there?
Always. There always is. But as I think there was someone on with you on Tuesday or earlier in the week, and he said the winner will always rise to the top. And I think that is true. I think that is true.
That's what somebody said. Yeah, but I'm just wondering, answer me this question as a Eurovision fanatic. Does the favourite, the bookies' favourite, always win?
No.
Well, that means that Croatia aren't a shoo-in then.
No, I wouldn't think. And I think this year, like Loreen was in it last year. she was a heavy, heavy favourite. But Finland came very close, which was unexpected in general. Like, there was very little between them.
Mm.
But and after being such heavy favourite, I think it was kind of written in the stars for Sweden to have it this year with ABBA, the 50-year kind of anniversary. But I don't think anyone has 100% going to win
it
this year.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily mean people, that you're a favourite that you're going to win. It doesn't usually follow that way. So hotels sorted out and everything then, and a few days in Malmo to knock around?
Yeah, so we have a full Friday and a full Saturday. So I am myself getting married on the 1st of June. So
oh
I'm a bit tight. We're doing a little hen over there, or Eurovision hen, we're calling it.
How many of you are travelling?
Me and three of my bridesmaids, who would all be Eurovision fans.
And costumes at the ready, I assume?
We do. We're actually going filming for Swedish television over there. It's like their RTE. It's called SVT.
Yeah.
They've asked us to come in kind of bridesmaids, kind of a hen party rig out. So we've got, I'm going to be a Bambi bride and I will have my Irish hen followers. So that will be a bit of fun.
Two things you have to do for me. You've got to get me a photograph of the gang in all of the regalia on Friday. And if you get a few minutes at all on Friday morning to take a call for me, will you do that as well?
I will, of course. I will. You're we're only doing we're doing an ABBA museum on Friday, so we'll be around Friday. Won't be as busy as Saturday.
Oh, that would be interesting. An ABBA museum, wouldn't it?
They've just done a pop-up, kind of exhibition museum. But the tickets are only €5, which is cheap for Sweden.
Which is weird for Sweden. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else will be burning a hole in your pocket over there, I'd say.
Oh, don't you know? Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, off you go. Get packed. Enjoy the trip. Talk to you on Friday morning and fingers crossed for the weekend.
Exactly. I'm very excited. We're all very excited for Sandy.
Okay, and then back home to a wedding.
Yes. Eventually,
who,
that's only a second fiddle at this stage.
Who are you marrying?
I'm marrying a Stephen Murphy from Kildare.
Nice fella.
Just to give him a little. He's a lovely fella. Lovely, lovely, lovely. He'll do the job just fine.
He'll do. He fits. Yeah. Where's the wedding?
We're doing it in Killarney.
Right, and the honeymoon?
Because I've we're going to Portugal. We've two kids. We have to keep the honeymoon fairly kind of close, so the flights will be a bit more manageable for them. Kind of coming from Castletown Bear and stuff, so Killarney was the centre point. I'm Cork City, we've North Cork, we've West Cork, so we're all going to meet.
All meet, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose the Eurovision themed wedding, is it?
It's, well, no, that was a bit harder now to get around. We have ABBA playing. There will be ABBA. And there's a few Eurovision songs the band are going to play. But
you must have deep pockets if you can get ABBA to reform for your wedding.
Oh, God, isn't that the dream? They won't even reform for the Eurovision in Sweden, so I don't know if my wedding's going to cut it.
But if you wait another 5 or 6 years to get married, you could have avatars of ABBA playing at the wedding, because believe me, that's where this world is going. You know, 4D and 5D.
It's fantastic.
Do you not go? Have you not gone to London for it, no?
No, I haven't gone yet. Not yet. It was supposed to be the plan before he proposed. I'm sure he threw that spanner in the works. And that was the way.
Well, I hope he's worth it. You threw up the avatars for the man of your life. But anyway.
He really is.
We'll chat on Friday, all right? Have a good trip. Stay safe. Looking forward to chatting again.
Talk to you on Friday. Bye.
All the best, Angela. Take care.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Just a quick one, because big response to this morning. Eilish, good morning.
Morning, Neil. How are you?
Big Eurovision fan. Do you watch it religiously every year?
No, I don't. I used to as a young one growing up. You know, it was ritualistic, all right, in those days. But no, I got tired of it. So I'd say.
So you're tired of Ireland not being in it, I suppose.
You couldn't be bothered. But it was the first time from day one when I saw her, I said, she's fantastic. She was sensational last night, Neil. She commanded that stage, and her dancer, your man with the horns, and everything, her look. And what I love about the song is, it, as you say, it's screeching and witchcraft and all the rest of it. And then the chorus comes, this gentle, and the dancing, and the command of the stage. And it's just a bit of everything. And, she's getting terrible criticism for being satanistic or ritualistic or being a witch. But come here. After all, we are the land of saints, scholars, druids, fairies.
I know, but I suppose I know the criticism might have to do with, say, for instance, the satanic symbols and things like that. But like, let's get over all that. Or it might have to do with your man who's dancing around with the horn might be interpreted as the devil. Do you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah. But listen, it's the 21st century. She has brought Ireland into it. Gone are the days, ballads and all that are gone. I think she has brought us into the world stage again. Okay, I was listening to the Breakfast Show this morning to a guest. There was a woman in her 60s. I'm not far off that myself, but anyway. In her 60s, and she was saying she was fantastic. And she said, I shouldn't be saying stuff like that at my age.
No, but it's all about, listen, songs matter and lyrics matter and melodies matter, but it's all about the production now, and it's a big stage show, and that's what sells Eurovision. Yeah. So you're back in love with Eurovision again. You'll be watching.
Saturday again, yeah. I will, of course, or Thursday night, maybe. I'll be kind of listening to the radio and watching, and I'm kind of...
No, it'll be very interesting on Thursday night, because that will be the second semi-final, of which Israel will be taking part. Now, yes, I know that there is armed police on the streets of Malmo for Eurovision, so they're...
obviously
on alert, but be interesting to see if Israel gets out of the second semi, won't it?
Yes, it will be, and I hope... Because I know my young girl has gone over there with her brother from at home in Kerry, and you just hope there isn't going to be anything, you know,
I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully not, Neil.
Okay.
No, she's a credit to the country. I think she's fantastic.
Okay.
And, yeah, fantastic.
Nice
I'm delighted.
Thanks so much, Alice. We'll pick it up after 10. Lots of texts on this and lots more besides. Back after 10.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Mucho text. They'll be shouting from the pulpit Sunday morning when Bambi wins. Down with this sort of stuff. They'll be shouting from the pulpit, says Stephen. Love it. Well done. Loads of them. It was the best performance of the night, says Fern. Gary says that, this is, you know, not related to Bambi Thug, but more related to Israel, who Gary says should be expelled from Eurovision. Aaron says, I thought they were just shouting and screaming, but fair play for getting through. Not my cup of tea for a song. And I respect that clearly, you know, as in any song or any artist, it's not everybody's cup of tea. But at this stage, we just need to get behind Bambi Thug and the performance and the song. Brilliant performance, says Margaret. You did it for Ireland. Orla says, delighted for Bambi, delighted for McCroom, for Cork and for Ireland. A super performance. I have to tell you, the days of a lovely ballad winning are in the past. We have to move on. Stu says, couldn't be more proud. I really feel like we have a winner potential. Great staging, great performance. We couldn't have asked for more from a Eurovision entrant. Bambi nailed it. It must be electric to be over there, says Anita. So proud of Bambi Thug. McCroom is so lucky to have such talent. Annette says, I'm sorry, but even though they put their heart into it, I couldn't say I enjoyed it. I found it satanic and unsettling. And that's just my opinion. And on this radio program, you're entitled to it. Orla says, fantastic performance, so confident, and gave it their all. I'm delighted we got through at last. It's been too long. I've always said it's a crazy enough song to win Eurovision. So who knows? Bambi did a great job. Johnny Logan looking as good as ever. Pure theatre, says Ellen. One or two other ones for you. Great achievement. One or two more. That was fantastic. Doing Cork and Ireland proud. So refreshing compared to the standard pop song every other year. A bit of positivity for a change in the country. This is great news. We've only been hearing a lot of doom and gloom lately. Some people will never be pleased. Vicky says, absolutely unreal. And I think maybe two texts, no disrespect to all of the other ones, but two ones that just really rocked the boat for me. Richard says, it turns out rock and roll wasn't all we did. Don't you just love that? That's mega. And another one, Paul says, it's about time that Cork won Eurovision. And I'm all behind bigging up, Cork, or even more exclusively McCroom being in the Eurovision Song Contest finals. So keep those coming. Text 0868104106. Can I flip back to another aspect of it? And that was my conversation earlier on with different people who are heading out to Malmo. And of course, all too often you decide to go on a flight, like Angela was supposed to be there for the second semi. But what happened? Ryanair went and cancelled the flights, changed the flight times, offered people other flights instead. But I can tell you one thing. Those alternatives don't always suit people with regards to time off or babysitters, or time off work, hotels booked and all sorts of stuff like that. Ryanair will make it out that it's not a big deal. It's not going to cost you anything. There's just a flight change. You know, that flight's been cancelled, but we have another one for you later in the day or later that night. That's all very well, but it doesn't suit everybody. In fact, it suits very little. But Andrew says, when you're booking, always look how the airline is going to get you to your destination. Interesting text on flying. He says, I flew to the USA last year. It took 24 hours to get there. I was flying to Texas by Finnair with a stop in Chicago, 2 hours in Texas. When we got to Heathrow, they told us we're going by American Airlines. 13 hours to Los Angeles, then we had to leave the airport to a completely different building for our next flight. We had to go all through security again. It was murder. An extra 3 hour wait here and another 3 hour on the flight. Be careful about how you get from A to B, otherwise it can turn into a nightmare. Laura says, 8 of us had flights booked to Barcelona in Cork from Cork through Ryanair. So there'll be Cork, Barcelona, 8 of us. It was a Saturday to a Tuesday. So they messaged us a few weeks ago telling us both flights were cancelled and they would let us rebook free of charge, or they'd give us a full refund. The only flight I could get was not out of Cork. It was out of Dublin on a Saturday, back on the Tuesday to Cork. No compensation, nothing. I now have 2 extra days and I leave from Dublin. Because of this, I now have to bring a 10k bag because it's a longer stay. It's just a joke, these cancellations and changes. So just on that, as to wondering why this is happening more and more, and is it just with Ryanair? Do you remember I read out a text from Dave the pilot? Well, he joins me by phone just to maybe explain a bit more. I'm not going to say who he's piloting for. That's personal and I don't want to create any grief with regards to his employers. But Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Good, my man. Nice talking to you, Chief. What's the story with the reason behind cancellations and, rescheduling of flights?
I believe what's happening with Ryanair, Neil, is that you might be aware that Boeing have had a number of issues in the last few years. So Ryanair would have planned, for example, and like all airlines, they plan their summer and our winter schedule about 6 months ahead. So they plan it based on a number of aircraft and locations where they put those into with crews. So what's happened with Ryanair, as I understand, is that they would have planned their summer schedule this year, 6 months ago, as I said, but they're receiving less aircraft from Boeing. So that's impacting then their schedule that they would have planned for.
Are you saying to me that Ryanair had bookings for new airplanes, was it?
Oh, yes, yeah. They're receiving new aircraft all the time. But because Boeing have had multiple quality issues and other things going on in the last few years, there's less aircraft coming to Ryanair than they would have been promised.
And they were expecting, yeah.
Yes, and because Ryanair then would, like any airline, would plan their summer schedule 6 months ago based on a fixed number of aircraft for different locations across Europe. And you have to remember, Ryanair is a mammoth organisation. It's over 3,600 flights per day across Europe. Mm. I mean, the scale is vast. Mm. So they would have planned their summer schedule on a fixed number of aircraft, obviously, and then Boeing have let them down and there's less aircraft. So that then rippled across the entire network. And I believe that's the reason for late cancellations. It happened to me myself. There was a flight to go to Faro in July and they changed, was it the outbound or the inbound? And the options were, as you said, rebook free of charge or else, which was an interesting one. If you call them, they'd actually reroute you through another aircraft or another airport. So it must be.
Ah, that's a total nightmare, different airport. Like if you had a morning flight, right, and Ryanair cancelled and say, don't worry about it, we have another one for you, and it's that night, right, and you're going to your destination, you might have 3 or 4 days, a weekend break or something. They're suggesting that it's okay then to fly late at night and get into your hotel at 2 a.m. kind of thing, where you had planned your itinerary.
I totally agree. I totally agree. But this is what's happening. They're getting less aircraft from Boeing, and it seems to be increasingly getting worse for the coming months. And they're juggling more and more flights.
Like, so is it a case that they're buying more planes all of the time because some planes reach kind of their flight time limit or something?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're regenerating their fleet the whole time. Like, it's about 600 aircraft, I understand now. But they're getting new aircraft, which are more fuel efficient, and can carry more passengers. But because Ryanair are still expanding across Europe, they would have got they've less aircraft than they planned for this summer.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. And they don't want, you know, if it was your business or my business, you wouldn't want to be doing that. But they're being let down by their supplier.
Okay, so someone was suggesting earlier on that it had to do with staffing, that they didn't have staff.
No, it's aircraft.
Absolutely,
it's aircraft.
And then these kind of cancellations and changes, they're not anything exclusive to Cork, are they? Is this happening in Dublin?
No, they're happening right across Europe.
Okay.
Right across Europe.
Okay.
Right across,
okay.
As I said, think about it, there's 600 aircraft across Europe. So they're not just changing a couple of flights in Cork and Dublin, and that's going to, you know, impact the rest of the network. This is across their whole schedule. And I saw recently where they were saying that instead of maybe having two frequencies a week to a destination, say to Lanzarote, for example, there might only be one frequency a week. So they're juggling the whole time.
Shortage of planes.
You know, if you think about it, if it was your business or mine, you wouldn't want to be doing that.
You'd,
you plan a great number of aircraft.
Yeah.
And next minute you're getting less. You're juggling. And that's what they're doing.
I have a question for you, Dave the pilot. When a big Boeing, 747 or 757 or whatever it is, when they reach their maximum flight allowed time and they have to be retired, what happens to that plane?
It gets taken to the desert and it probably gets broken up. And if there's any, particularly in Arizona, there's a lot of kind of they call them aircraft graveyards. So there might be, and there's a place in the UK as well, I can't think of the name, but basically they get broken up, the scrap gets reused, and if there might be some engine part that might be reused, or there could be other something to do with the avionics, or there might be anything that can be reused, can be, reused and sold on, but most of it gets broken up.
But they could be perfectly good planes, like.
They might, but there's a number, there's for aircraft, and there's called an A check, a B check, C and a D check. And after a certain number of cycles, which is aircraft hours, as in flight hours and takeoff and landings, they basically get to the end of their shelf life. And also, the newer aircraft, for example, that Ryanair are receiving at the moment, there, I think, is at 15 or 20% more fuel efficient.
Oh, yeah, all of the time.
So that's a huge thing. I mean, they're getting leaps and bounds, and they can fit more people.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. No, it's just that I, before you said that, I was thinking to myself, would it not have made sense just to change the engines because they were perfectly good planes, you know, at a time of waste and things like that?
But that happens too. But the newer aircraft, the shape of them, they're even more aerodynamic. And the engine, but the engine technology is incredible, you know, 15, 20%, and they're quieter.
And will we reach a point where they won't be fossil fuel driven or flown, do you think, at any stage?
Yeah, Virgin Atlantic had a flight recently across the Atlantic on some type of green fuel, but it costs an awful lot, obviously, at the moment. It's not cost effective enough to use it, on a consistent basis. But like all technology, and there's scientists and there's people busy working away there in the background trying to come up with new technologies. And I'm sure they will in the future.
So what would that be? Would that be electric? Would it be solar powered or something? Was that 30, 40, 50 years
anything. Yeah, possibly. Absolutely. Anything's possible. No, batteries are heavy. So who knows? But the and weight is a big thing, obviously, with any aircraft. But for the foreseeable future, it's still going to be, fossil fuel driven. But I'm sure there's lots of technologies, like everything that's working in the background, that is there are things probably being worked on that we can't even imagine that'll
absolutely
be there in 30 or 40
you
years
better
time,
believe
you know?
It that's for sure. Dave, thanks. Pleasure talking to you. Safe flying.
Well,
appreciate
pleasure,
the call.
Cheers.
Take care. All the
thank
best you. Text 0868104106. The upside then to when things like that happen, here's an interesting one. Elaine says, we went to Orlando as a family of six. When it came to boarding, they looked for people to wait till the following day to fly, as they had overbooked the flight. We agreed, the six of us, to stay behind. We were put up in a 5-star hotel, transferred to and from the hotel. We got vouchers for food. We got vouchers for drinks for all six of us. Then they flew us the next day. But the best part is that we were given as well vouchers of $1,000 each to fly anywhere with Delta Airlines. We returned the following year for 3 weeks to Orlando, free of charge. I bet you'd find it hard to match that. Well, you could well be right, Elaine, but you never know, somebody might. But that was a win-win for you. You got an extra day and all of the trimmings and $1,000 each for the trouble. Text 0868104106. Call's on the way.
Call Neil now. 0818104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okie dokie. Text 0868104106. Can I stay with matters? And I'll come back to some more texts as well on Eurovision and Bambi Thug's amazing performance last night. But just staying with flight-related matters. And we know we're talking about cancellations and refunds and everything. Bernadette says, I'm somewhat missing the point with regards to Ryanair cancelling flights. And I know what Pilot Dave is saying on the matter. If Ryanair cancel a flight and say they have a flight the next day and you take it, then if you want to push out your return flight by that extra day, you must pay for the difference for that. Also, a lot of people prepay for their destination to get a better price, so they lose a night of the hotel. I know what you're saying. I did miss that point. It's a very valid one. If you've got, say, a 3 or 4 day break, and then you lose one day, but you still want to go for that period of time. Firstly, you've lost the one night of the hotel, and then you're pushing the flight out by 24 hours. Ryanair will charge you more for the return leg. Bear that in mind. But apparently, at least we're hearing from a pilot who's flying airplanes, that it has to do with they need more planes than they can get. It's all about space. Talking about space, Andrea Smith, the journalist and columnist, has an interesting tale to tell, because she's heading to Lanzarote tomorrow on her holidays. That's all very well, but there's another couple of strings to this bow. So, Andrea, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
It's been a while. It's been a while since we spoke, and I think it's probably a bit of a while since you got a bit of sun as well, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Ages, years.
So Lanzarote awaits for what? Like, is it... Oh, before the pandemic even, really?
Yeah, yeah. A few little days here and there, but this is the first time I'm going away for a week.
So, and that's great value. So you've got return flights for €458, but that's not all. There's a sting in the tail. What is it? And tails being the operative words.
So, Neil, I have 7 dogs, so they need to go into kennels, you see, while I'm away. Hence why I haven't been away much now. This is the truth of the matter. Because it's €458 for me to go all-inclusive to Lanzarote for a week with my 2 pals.
Oh, wait a second. You mean your breakfast and your lunch and your dinner is all included?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be too sure we're staying in the best part of town or the best.
Is it drinks as well?
Venue. Yeah, I said the whole lot. I'll need it at this rate because I'll have no money left, because it's €458 for me to go away for a week and my 7 dogs are going into the kennels, right? And that's costing, wait, later, €1,260.
One of the dogs wanted to chip in on the cost. He's saying, thank you, Mammy. €1,260 for 7 dogs kennelling.
Yeah, it's €140 a night. And you see, because the flight goes at stupid o'clock, you know, 6 a.m, they have to go in the day before. And then the kennels closes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So by the time you come back, you've missed another day, you know. So
it's going in for 9 nights. €140 a night. Are you putting them into a 5-star kennel or what?
No, I think it's probably like, you know, prisoner cell block H they're going into. You know, I can't afford one of the ones that, you know, where they treat them like, you know, like golden part of the family. They're going into a regular kennel.
And how would it cost? I mean, is it always expensive like that?
It wasn't. Prior to the pandemic, it was €60 a night. They used to charge me a tenner a night because they share, I suppose they sell. they share kennels. So they put them in together. So they only take up 3 kennels between them, you know. And so they gave me a discount and it was €10 a night. And they used to, I have one that's only £6, she's tiny. So they used to give me her free. But then after the pandemic, they went up to €100. Now, I understand the cost of living, all of that, you know. But then I got a text earlier on this year to say your new rate for the year is €140.
But come on. So, I mean, you can talk about rising cost of living or inflation, but not by that much, from 60 to 140.
A few tins of chum, you know what I mean? A few tins of chum and they're in these kennels, which are outdoor kennels. I mean,
€140 a night. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't have them, you'd be a multimillionaire.
and listen. Do you know what I mean? And they're useless as well. They wouldn't even make you a cup of tea or anything, you know, while you're slaving away to earn all this money to pay for
them. So what are they good for, apart from being probably cute, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, sure. Listen, don't you have dogs? They're great fun. And,
I have the one dog and sometime my son's dog, but that's the max. I couldn't deal with any more than that. I don't know. Like, there was a time when you had more than seven.
You know? Yeah, I used to have a few cats as well, but now I just have dogs, and they're all rescues. And you know, people come knocking on my door and go, "Are you the lady with all the dogs?" And then they hand me over some sad case, or my neighbour's got evicted, I took the dog, that kind of thing. I didn't really plan to have seven, but here we are, you know. And
for 140 a night. Do they clearly feed them? Do they take them out for walkies in the park, or like have they an itinerary, the dogs?
They have their own field, right, and they let them out into that, you know, they run around that and then they come in. And also I've asked them to groom them, because the girl is actually a groomer. I have a German Shepherd, right, and I get all of his fur taken off twice a year, because he loves it when he's kind of bald, because they have that big heavy coat, you know. And she charges me 120 just to take off the coat.
Is it Dublin prices or what? Because that would not be tolerated in Cork.
I know, but you see, the thing is, it's really hard to get your dog into a kennel in Dublin, you know, because people always say that you can't. I mean, I would never book a holiday for July and August, because you just wouldn't, unless you tried the year before, you wouldn't get in, you know. And, you know, I have people ringing me all the time saying, "Where do your dogs go? Because I can't get my dog in anywhere." Now, what people always say to me is, "Would you not get somebody into the house to mind them?" But,
Actually, that's a superb idea, Andrea. I didn't even think of that. Why wouldn't you?
It would be a terrible idea, Neil, you see, because, first of all, I don't think you could pay somebody less than 140 a day, because you're for you know, minding them. But also, you know, it would be
bung 500 for the week. I'm sure somebody would bite the hand off you for it.
I know, but then I'd be worrying all the time, because I know the trigger points. Like, I know that if the postman knocks on the door, that one fella would go ballistic, and you know, you have to kind of batten down the hatches. It's a bit like, you know, the scene in Mary Poppins, you know, when the boom goes off and they all have to run save all the things. Yeah.
Your man with the cannon on the roof. Yeah.
Exactly. That's what happens, you know, when the postman arrives to my house, this one fella, and he literally flings himself around the room. So I have to be ready to, you know, there's all little trigger points like that. Or I know that if one of them takes the other one's ball, they'll be killing, you know. So at least when I put them into the kennels, I don't have to worry, you know. I don't have to, because they've nothing.
Have you any kind of like peace or relaxation or downtime with all of the going on?
At home, listen, they ran. Sure, listen, it's only me at home, and I'm, you know, there writing for a living, trying to make a few cents so I can spend it on, you know.
Can you go on Zoom calls or on team meetings or anything like that with the dogs around the place, barking and fighting over balls?
I'm up here, and I brought up the two little ones with me, you know, because they're, one of them is, I can hear her down the hall. I hope you can't. She's barking up, annoyed, because I've left her down there. You know, you have to hope that, you know, somebody doesn't knock on the door in the middle, because during the pandemic, I used to be on the Elaine show, and we did that from home, you know, which was a video thing from home, you know. And she'd be praying, like, somebody wouldn't come, you know. We were all ordering from Amazon during the pandemic, and, you know, every 2 minutes somebody'd be coming to the door, and
I know.
I'd be praying there wouldn't be chaos while I'd be act dignified, you know.
So the text came in there, said, it's after disappearing now, but it was there a second ago, where you can get online. Is there an organisation called Trusted Dog Sitters?
Yeah.
And you pay them, and they know their dogs, and they get dogs, and they come in, and here it is. Online Trusted Dog Sitters. People will stay in your home and mind the animals. It is much cheaper that way.
Yeah, as I said, there's too many personalities, because I have seven different breeds.
Worry about that. Come here, that'll be their problem. Like, if you put up on Facebook, anybody fancy a week in Dublin, come up from Cork or Kerry and see the sights, except you have to mind my dogs. But then again, you don't know what kind of a character you're bringing into your house either, do you?
Well, exactly. And then also, it means that, you know, they have to try and walk seven dogs. Now, I hire the local school and I bring them there, you know, but it's...
You hire the local school?
Yeah, honest to God, you know, it's lucky I don't drink or smoke, you know what I mean? Because I honestly, you know, they just fleece me of money in these jobs.
What's the dog food bill on a weekly basis, I wonder?
The dog food bill, thanks to Lidl, is not as bad as everything else. But it's when, it's like when there's, you know, a vet occurrence, you know, that could be a fortune. You know, or the, you know, the groomer is desperate, and then when you have, like, I have some of my dogs are big, you know, and also, Neil, I just got delivery of my new sofa, and I'm in my house 22 years, and this is the 19th set of sofas that have arrived.
You need to put down rugs over the damn thing.
Oh, listen, I've done all that. I've done all of this. But it is, yeah, you know, because Joe's is somebody who's a chewer, you know. But anyway, at the moment, anyway, I have no chewers. So,
So you have seven of them, right? Do they all eat the same food or are they finicky? You say Lidl is the best value, but is the one big, huge bag feeds everybody?
Yeah, they aren't finicky, thank God. They will eat anything. See, all of them were rescue dogs, so they've all come from bad situations, you know. So three of them were starved, but they are just delighted to be fed anything, I think.
Oh,
you know,
my God,
so,
poor misfortunes.
You know, so, yeah, you know, they were really bad situations. So, you know, listen, they're happy and they give me a great laugh. I mean, there's a total soap opera going on all day, every day in my house.
I can well imagine.
A canine soap opera.
I can well imagine. I'm just wondering, is that the norm? That kind of, I wonder what it's like. I hope people will share with me what it is in Cork for a night's kennelling. I don't think it'd be anywhere near €140 a night. If that's the case, my son owes me.
$20 per dog, though.
How much?
It's $20 per dog.
Per night.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my son owes me an absolute fortune. Do you know that? I'm going to send him a bill.
I start calling it in, you know?
Vic, sure, I'm going to do that.
And I'm sure your dog, you know, his dog has been treated with luxury. Mine are going into what I would imagine is the basis. Because I know people who, you know, send them to the places where they bring them into their house and treat them like a member of their family, you know. My poor lot don't have that luxury. They go to a bog standard kennel, you know. Somebody, they're very nice.
Somebody
very
here nice names people. a kennel in Cork. They say it's €20 a night that Andrea is being robbed. But sure, that's what you're paying is €20 a night.
Yeah.
Per dog, except there's seven of them. So do you think you'll always have seven, or will you try and scale down or what?
Well, I say that every time, you know. I say, listen, I let it go down to two or three. Now, I'm getting old myself now, you know, so maybe, you know, I won't always be able to have that many. And there's always the worry of if something happens to you, where do they all go, you know? So, now, I have two little oldies. I have a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old. But, so, you know, obviously...
It's always sad when they pass away then, Andrea, is it?
Listen, it's desperate when they pass away, you know. And I think that's probably why I have so many as well, because it makes it a little bit easier. But they do. I mean, I don't have kids. I don't, you know, have a partner. So the dogs are my little family, you know. So, and they're, you know, it's nice to think that you can give them a life, given the life that...
Well, that's exactly what you are doing. You're giving them the life that they'd been denied at the most formative years. But at the same time, many of us go through the passing of a pet, and it might happen every 10 or 15 years. But for you, it's like an ongoing journey of love and death and love and death.
Yeah. I mean, but I also know that at the beginning, you know, I always say that dogs, the only flaw they have is that they just don't live long enough, you know. So you do find that, you know, and because I'm freelance as well, you know, I've gone to the vet, I've had a dog put to sleep and then come back and had to work straight away. Like, there's no compassionate leave for dogs or any of that kind of thing. You have to just get... And also, I don't think people really understand as well. I mean, there are people who don't understand what is wrong with you grieving over a dog, you know. So,
clearly for somebody to say that means that they've never lost a family member, which a pet and a dog certainly is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it true?
Yeah, completely. And I think that, you know, I always kind of know if somebody says to me, oh, I don't like dogs or I don't like cats, I kind of know that you and me are never going to be on the same page, pal, you know, no matter how nice you are, we're just not going to ever, you know, agree on...
Well, we get on very well, and I wouldn't count myself as a cat fan.
No, but you are, I mean, you love your dog, don't you?
Totally, but not anybody else's, thank you very much. I see you cancelling me now and deleting my number.
No, I mean, I know I've seen you with your dog and you're great with your dog. And, you know, that's, I think that's the proof. You know, you might pretend, you know, that you're all this hard man, but really, your dog rules you and everybody knows that. You know?
Oh, my God. So when you're away, just finally, will you be worried about the seven dogs at €140 a night?
I actually can switch off when I go away because I know that they've been going to the same place for 20 years, which is why I'm sort of annoyed they put it up so much, to be honest, because I've given them good business over the years, you know. But anyway,
it's a bizarre amount. It's a huge increase. It really is, like.
Yeah, I think so too. But, you know, I suppose people can do it because there is such a demand for kennels, you know.
Okay. But
I don't know. Certainly in Dublin there is, you know, because a lot of the kennels are, you know, to have the room to have the kennels, you need to be on the outskirts or you need to be in a different county. I know people who'll travel to Wexford to kennel their dogs before they go. Oh. Actually, the kennels is 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, I know that, but would you pay €140 a night to have your child minded? would you pay somebody? Well, it's €140 a night multiplied by seven in your case, like, but you know, it's a fair chunk of change. Just hold on, there's 1 second there, Joan.
Yes, hello.
Okay, so that's an astonishing amount of money, isn't it? €140 a night, and before COVID it was €60 a night. Anyway, what are your thoughts?
What I think she should do is go and put your house on Airbnb. Rent it out for the time you're away. Make a note, it's for dog lovers only, because there'll be seven gorgeous little puppies running around the place, whatever they are.
They're not puppies.
But you can make a note of it, surely. Or even it would be cheaper to hire somebody to come and dog sit. There would be a student somewhere that will happily come and stay in your house and look after your dog.
Ah, yeah, a student, that's all very well. Until 1 or 2 days into it, the student gets the hump and just leaves. See?
Oh, well, that's the thing. You'd need references, I suppose, leave anyone in your house. But maybe Airbnb be the way to go. So, but even for next year, plan ahead.
So Airbnb, you'd actually be paid for them to move in to mind the dogs. They'd pay you to...
I have a staffy that's 6.5 stone, right? And when you sit on the sofa, he'll decide to sit on your lap, you know. Do you think the Airbnb would be all right with?
Dog lovers need only apply. But it's something to think about. I know. I pay €20 a night for my dog. I only have one. And it adds up if you go away for a bit. But seven, God love you.
Well, you would think at least there'd be a feckin' discount for seven.
You would, wouldn't you?
Apparently.
Huh?
Yeah, that is the discount.
And after 20 years of custom, it's a hard hit now,
Ari. Okay, well.
Anyway, that's my 2 cents.
Thank you so much. Rent it out on Airbnb. They'll give you £1,000 a night, apparently, or £1,000 a weekend for it. I don't know. Anyway, listen, have a great holiday nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, they might enjoy a little trip to Cork. How are you fixed for the next few weeks, Neil, you know?
Sorry, I'm going into a tunnel. I'm losing signal.
Down to see their country cousin down there.
I'll call you. Don't call me. I'll be washing my hair. I'm allergic to dogs. Have a great holiday. Mind yourself.
Thanks a million.
Take care, Andrea Smith. Bye. Take care. Text 0868104106. The cost of dogs, lads, and the cost of kennelling. Get involved in the conversation. It certainly is a big chunk of change. It's far from change when you multiply it up. Mother of God, seven dogs by €140,000. Wow. Back after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Back to calls in a second and some more texts as well. Just honing in again on Ryanair, somebody telling me to wake up. I'm wide awake since early morning. Wake up, Neil. The reference is to Boeing MAX. People don't trust the Boeing MAX. I do recall issues with the Boeing MAX airplane. So thank you for that. I wouldn't ever claim to be as knowledgeable as your good self or even a pilot when it comes to aircraft, but they're referring to the Boeing MAX. Another one talks about FAA. I think the FAA possibly would be, a moment of correction, the Federal Aviation Authority. Stopped Boeing delivering planes until the investigation was complete. So Ryanair basically has less planes to operate all these routes as Boeing hasn't delivered the planes that Ryanair has bought. So you're absolutely right in that regard and exactly what our pilot was saying. Yes, indeed. You just mentioned, well, I didn't actually, but Dave, the pilot, did that shares in Ryanair was down 7%. But can I tell you it didn't stop Michael O'Leary giving himself a €100 million bonus? Well, I suppose private company, you can do whatever you want. It's totally different when it's not publicly funded, I suppose. That's private enterprise. That's capitalism, really, isn't it? Anyway, text 086-8104-106. Well done to Bambi Thug. Amazing song. Loved it. Bring the Eurovision back to Ireland, and I hope we go far. One or two more. I knew we had a cracker. We're going to end up winning this. Somebody else says, the Bambi Thug record, or song, sounds like a cross between Shakespeare's Sister Stay and They're Coming to Take Me Away, haha. I like it, and I'm 64. I think Croatia will come first, followed either by Ireland or Ukraine. Kay says, could you find the version of the song Bambi sang and played on piano on The Late Late? It's stunning. She's gifted, but that version wouldn't have been good enough to go through to Eurovision, as in kind of like a more serene or sedate or calmer version of it. I love the song contest, says Mary, but unfortunately this year's effort was a complete flop for me. It was just a scream fest, and each so-called singer hadn't a note in their head. So this is the whole lot of them last night. As for our entrant, it was just awful. It was all ridiculous theatrics, and the satanic element is very disturbing. Was it really necessary? So disappointing. There should be a continuous warning about the strobe lighting as well. All that was to distract from the awful noise and the so-called singing. So clearly Mary, not a fan. Bambi's mother went to Ashton and lived in Maryborough in Douglas. We're going to get chapter and verse now on the entire family, and they're all their movement to end up living in beautiful Macroom. Didn't know that, actually. I mean, if Bambi's mum went to Ashton, I would think that maybe some of their creativity comes from the philosophy within Ashton School, and maybe Bambi got this. Maybe it's kind of like almost a DNA thing handed down from her mum. I'm only in my 30s, so not an old generation. No, far from it. But the Eurovision used to be a family show. There's absolutely no way my kids, 10 and 12, could watch half that crap last night. Firstly, the presenter's sexual referencing. I don't know anything about that. What's that about? Then Bambi would have scared the bejesus out of them. And the UK's entry was an absolute disgrace. Men grinding on top of each other with padding around their private area. Finland's guy dancing around with no pants on. It's all gone so sexualized now. And who can be the raunchiest and the weirdest is definitely what wins out. Definitely not a great show. I used to watch it with my parents. I know, there are different times, though. The world has so changed since, you know, even you're in your 30s, so it's really changed in the last 40 or 50 years. But, you know, even in the last 20-odd years, you're seeing a big difference now as to what wins competitions or what is acceptable. Don't know what you mean by the sexualized references of the compares. Anyway, text 0868-104-106. You're talking about flying, right? And Andrea, who's got, how much was it again? She's got 7 dogs at €140 per dog. So her holiday is all in, and it's going to cost her 458. But the kennelling, 1,260 for the dogs. It would have been cheaper if she took the dogs on holidays to Lanzarote. I don't know. What is it? Where do dogs go? In the hold, is it? Unless they're small enough, they can go in a handbag, I suppose. Or can you buy a seat for a dog on a plane? Sit the dog next to you if it's a paying passenger? Text 0868-104-106. But what about a bunch of kids that are going overseas, or indeed that need to fly? Just waiting on a screen to move here. Here it is. Got it now. Lorraine, good morning. Thank you so much for holding. Congratulations. You're in order, I believe.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Congratulations. You're off to Prague.
Well, we are delighted. We're just over the moon. Over the moon. I'm just one of the mums now, so I just want to come on and just say how proud we are of them, because they're so young, and they range from 5 to 16, and we're just blown away by the talent.
Okay. Well, it's Hamilton Acro and Dance. Is it a dance school?
It is. They opened, Neil, just under 2 years ago, and they started off very small, and they now have over 300 students.
Where is it based?
It's, It's based with kids all over Cork City, but they run from Ballyfihan School and Douglas School.
Okay, okay. So 5 to 16-year-olds who will now be representing Ireland in the World Dance Championships in Prague in June. That's an incredible achievement.
It, yeah.
Could I ask you, I know what dance means, but what does acro mean?
Okay, so it's a mixture of gymnastics. So they do gymnastics and dance mixed together. So some of these kids now, Neil, they're just super talented. If you just even just to watch them, it's unreal.
Listen, even to have children as young as 5 up to 16 engaging in team sports or the arts or creativity in itself is a brilliant thing, because we hear so much criticism of kids these days. You know, it's wonderful.
We know there's so many dropping out of sports, and there's so many dropping out of all these things, and it's just fantastic. It's a great outlet for us.
Okay,
it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
But this opportunity, unfortunately, comes at a cost, and I imagine you were anticipating that you possibly might win and get into the world finals, but you weren't budgeting for it as a group, no?
No, we weren't. I'll tell you now, Neil, we went to the performance in Dublin about a month ago, and it was performances from dance schools all over Ireland, and our group did their performance on stage, and the school were approached and asked would they put their piece forward, and they put it forward, and we got chosen. Now, there was a school in Dublin, they were on RT yesterday. You might have heard when they're going, and they're from Dublin, and we're representing Cork.
But you need to find 25 grand. Is that airfare or airfare and hotels and things or what?
Well, it's everything really. No, Neil, it's the costumes, the tracksuits, the Ireland tracksuits, there's so many things that have to go into it, accommodation, and also I suppose in the current climate, with parents paying enough, you know, to keep their kids involved in these kind of things, it's for the parents as well.
There's no funding for this. Is the Dublin dance group also struggling to get the money together, or do you know?
No, they've raised theirs, Neil. That's why I'm ringing you today, because they were trying to raise 40,000 and they raised it. And we're delighted.
Did they do that on GoFundMe? Was it?
They didn't do theirs on GoFundMe. They got sponsorship from businesses, and I don't know where theirs came from, but it's like they did get sponsored as well by businesses.
Okay, corporate sponsorship. There's no lottery funding for something like this, is there, under arts?
No, there's not. But I'll tell you, we have an amazing group of moms in this, and you have to take my hats off. The moms are fantastic what they're doing. They're fundraising, they're coming up with so many ideas, they're doing discos, cake sales, they're just doing everything they can. And we have raised some money, but we've another bit to go, and we're kind of running out of time, and we feel, you know, if Cork could get behind us, we'd make Cork very proud.
I'm just thinking out loud as we're chatting here. The Minister for Arts, well, Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media and all sorts of things is Catherine Martin. I think that's small change to a government department to come up with a contribution or all of it. In an ideal world, if contactable, Catherine Martin should be able to find that kind of money. God knows they waste enough of it, and she's in the throes of RTE wasting millions at the moment. Are you have a GoFundMe going? I wouldn't think that you should stop just at GoFundMe. I think somebody like maybe Michael McGrath, who's a government minister, may be able to have a word in Catherine Martin's ear, or find some funding to contribute. How many kids?
Yeah, there's 25 of them, Neil.
And if you can't get to 25 grand, you can't go.
Well, the parents, I suppose, will have to pay for, and I mean, it's expensive enough to get there, even the flights alone you're talking 600 to 800 for the flights. That's only for two. That's only for a mom and a daughter.
Well, there's a lot of different things that can happen here, right? Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's not as if you're going five star or anything, obviously.
No, I appreciate
that. But I think, firstly, the GoFundMe is up and running. Secondly, yeah, it might be worth seeing if, you know, a sitting TD or minister on Lee's side would be able to help, bit of coaxing. Bit of money from the state.
Yeah.
And thirdly, you'd never know, there may be businesses listening to me right now who might be willing to contribute. It's tax deductible. They might be in a position where they might make a contribution and in return we'd give them, you know, airtime and acknowledge that on the air if they wanted to contribute to the fund. So let's
we'd be so grateful.
Yeah, okay. Let's drive it on, make a couple of calls at midday to see if there's some way that we could get some state contribution as well, and we'll be back to you at some stage, Lorraine, all right?
Thanks so much, Neil. We really, really appreciate it, and we'll make you proud.
Absolutely. You're in the finals, and 25 Cork kids. We need to help them if we can. Yeah. Okay, let me give out
the
details
so much,
here.
Need.
So the details from GoFundMe is Help Hamilton Acro Get to the Dance World Cup 2024. There's a lot going on there, but that is the GoFundMe. It's Hamilton Acro, A-C-R-O, Hamilton Acro, on a GoFundMe search. You might be in business, actually. You might be willing to contribute some money towards that fund, because ultimately they need 25 grand. So if you want to get involved and maybe want to contribute, text 0868104106 or get on to GoFundMe, and let's see if we can drive this on, because you don't want to disappoint all these kids who are representing Ireland in Prague in June. So on a GoFundMe search, Help Hamilton Acro Get to the Dance World Cup 2024. You never know. Could make all the difference.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Okay, so keep those texts coming. Delighted Bambi got through. She is in a league of her own. Fantastic. If people say they, I'll read it as they. If people say she, I'll read it as she. People would want to stop the hate messages online. It's awful there. Bambi is a beautiful young lady and is someone's daughter, someone's sister, someone's friend. Her family and us out here in Macroom are very proud of her. Go Bambi, says Linda. Now, I know that the pronouns are all over the place there with regards to non-binary. But they're still kind words. It's looking good for us, kid, to win Eurovision. The contest is being held in the same city as 1992 when Linda Martin won. So Bambi, so why me? Says Pat. That's amazing. So that also is another kind of possibly. Another positive that we've won it there before and we can win it there again. Absolutely delighted for Bambi. They were amazing. Performance is not satanic at all. Yes, there's a bit of darkness, but if you pay proper attention to all of the details, like her makeup and the OM writing on her face, she's representing the old Irish roots before Catholicism took over. Well said, Cheryl. Their performance was just beautiful. I've had her song stuck in my head well before the Late Late Show performance, and I can't wait for the final Saturday night. Well said. Lots then on dog kenneling with Andrea's dog kenneling bill at €140 a night for 7 dogs for a week. It's well over. It's nearly €1,500. But before, I said 140 now, but before COVID, which gets blamed for everything. If the cat had kittens, it would be COVID's fault. Before COVID, it was €60. So from 60 to 149. The Kingsley Hotel is dog friendly. Cheaper to pay someone to stay there with them. I don't know, would you get a room in the Kingsley for 140 a night with 7 dogs? But anyway, tell Andrea to go online to trusted dog sitters. People stay in your home and mind the animals. It would be way, way cheaper. For that lady talking about her dogs, she is right to put them in a good kennel, especially if she has 7, because bringing someone the dogs don't know into our house is putting that person potentially at risk. It's their job, the dog's job, to protect their home. And if one dog feels uneasy at any stage, then they could all attack. Please bear that in mind. Noted. Put the dog in kennels and put the house on Airbnb to pay for the kennels. That's a good idea. Maybe she might consider that. I don't know. You want to rent out your own home. Not everybody's cup of tea, I suppose. Talking about the death of a pet, Paul O'Grady had the best quote. He said, "Taking any animal into your life will inevitably end in heartache, but you don't worry about the hangover when you're at the party." That's a good point. It's well said. I also have the same issue as that lady. I have four dogs and often pay more to get them minded than I would for mine and my husband's holiday. The prices for minding and kenneling is madness. Well, I suppose to some extent it could well be supply and demand. Prices go up because there's not enough kennels, maybe. We do a package deal for larger dogs, or larger numbers of dogs, I should say. We're €15 and we look after long-term customers. And long stays, we reduce the price, lower than 15. The food is supplied. We walk the dogs twice a day. We love all our furry babies coming to us. Thank you for the text. You don't tell me the business, so I can't give any further details than that. My dog kennels are €25 a night, and you have to supply your own food and treats. Now, are you saying to me that the kennels that you use are €25 a night, or you have dog kennels and you charge €25 a night? Either way, it's €25 a night. We had a return flight then on Ryanair and cancelling flights, changing schedules. We had a return flight cancelled by Ryanair. They offered us a refund or to rebook, but unfortunately did not have a flight coming home on the same day. So we ended up having to book with Aer Lingus. I opted for a full refund for the return flight, and Ryanair deposited the money into my Ryanair wallet within one working day. But when I went to withdraw the money to my bank account, I received an email saying the money would be in your account in 6 to 8 weeks' time. That's correct, weeks. The problem is I had to go and rebook with Aer Lingus and pay the full price up front. Well, I don't know why. It just is frustrating. It's exacerbating. Why would it take 6 to 8 weeks for the click of a button? Morning, driving to Middleton now. I was on the low road. It goes into one lane. Actually, I'll tell you what, I'll come back to that because I know we're talking about driving and driving and people's driving and their driving habits. In fact, I'll do it now. I'll come back to the ad break in a few minutes' time. Adrian, good morning.
Hi Neil, how are you?
I'm good, my man. It's only a matter of weeks since there was a major accident in Carr's Hill, and we all know of the devastating consequences of the accident that involved the car and the Arctic and the container on the back, and I hope that the woman that was in the car that was crushed makes a full recovery. But then, Saturday morning, what happens?
I was travelling, touring a skiddy, coming down Carr's Hill towards the Maxwell station.
Same road then, same stretch of road.
Just literally, I'd say half a mile from where the accident happened. And we were coming down the road and there was a car in front of me, there was another Arctic in front. And I just noticed the car veering across the road and I blew the air horns and they swerved back over last minute.
So, I looked at the video because you captured it on dash cam, didn't you?
Dash cam, yeah.
And you sent it to us and we shared it. It bears huge amounts of similarities to the dreadful, dreadful accident and crash a couple of weeks ago.
It's happening a lot. Like you see a lot in a truck. You see, you drive along, you could see, like, down below you on the right, on the, like, in front of you, you could see people tapping on their phones. Like, I see there, like, a fella this morning, he definitely was on his phone because he slowed down inside in the tunnel for no apparent reason, and his phone was on his right-hand side against the pillar, and he was tapping on it, like.
In the tunnel?
So, in the tunnel, yeah. Like,
you see,
I always say, like, if anything ever happens in that tunnel, like, Cork will come to a standstill.
Well, I can tell you something. If anything ever happened in that tunnel that resulted in a major pile-up on a busy morning with cars driving at speed, people will die.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I'm looking, if anybody hasn't seen this, this is up on our Facebook and X, right? You need to go and see this sometime. I'm looking at the video now, right? It is the stretch of road travelling towards Carrigaline. I see the cars here, and there's, you know, that petrol station on the left-hand side as you're heading down? And I actually thought I was looking at the same video from 2 weeks ago when the car veered over and hit the side of the Arctic, and then the Arctic flipped the load. It's so similar.
Yeah.
So one stage, the car in front of you...
It could end up in front of me. Like,
first of all, looking at the video, which is running here in front of me right now, the car ahead of you, and you're in the truck, almost goes into the left-hand side ditch.
Yeah. Right?
And then swerves back out, holds the middle of the road for about 2 seconds, and swerves right across the road into oncoming traffic. So only that the car coming in the opposite direction... Correct me if I'm wrong here. Jump in on the commentary. What do you see? You see the other car taking avoidance.
Well, I presume that car braked or something anyway, because like I blew the horn in the truck. It'd be fairly loud. I think that kind of woke them up as well, like whatever.
So do you think you blowing the horn, because I don't hear that, you think that your blowing the horn got them to look up, is it?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the last second they saw it, like, but I had to do something, like, because I didn't want anything happening in front of me like that either, like, you know.
So were you thinking, here we go again?
Oh, yeah, but, like, we see it every day. I can guarantee you there's truck drivers, van drivers, whatever. Like, when you're on the road every day, you see all this. So, like, there's people just take their eyes off the road for 2 seconds, come across, like, the company in which we had an accident in 2019 with a car, but I won't go into much detail, but it was suicide, like, it was deliberate.
Oh, but dear me.
It was so,
oh,
like,
dear,
it
dear me.
But, like, you have to think of the, like, right, whatever was going through that person's mind, whatever, but it really affects the driver as well, like, you know, when it comes down to in the end, like, that driver has to live with that for the rest of his life.
Oh my God.
The innocent party, like, you know what I mean?
Oh my God, I feel so awful for the poor misfortunate person who did take their own life, but the manner in which, and the consequences of the person that they intentionally crashed into. Oh my God, Adrian.
Yeah, you know, like, it's happening a lot. Like, you don't hear about these things, but it does, it is happening.
I mean, without wishing to overly dwell on this point, I can tell you one thing. I know that, unfortunately and sadly, train drivers in the past have had to get lots and lots of counselling for people who have ended their own lives walking in front of a train. I even hate saying the words now, but could you imagine living with that?
Well, thankfully, the driver came back driving for us, but he was off for a good few, about 6 months.
You don't like driving in Cork as much as other counties, is it?
No, I give me Dublin any day.
Why do you say that? Because of what you've seen?
You expect it in Dublin, like, what the drivers, like, there they cut you off and everything, but they drive on. In Cork, if a driver in a car is not happy with you, they'll do the fool with you, they'll brake in front of you, they'll swap lanes, they'll deliberately slow down, you go to pass them, they'll speed up. Do you know? I have my own dash cam with the last, I don't know, about 5-6 years I have it now. I love it. It's the best thing I ever bought.
Yeah.
And my boss got cameras fitted in the trucks as well, so we have that as well, but he's a live feed. He can watch, like, I'm sitting in the yard here, Lordy, at the moment. He can watch where I am, like, you know. He doesn't bother us with it, but it's there for safety reasons.
Why do you say the dash cam is the best thing? Because, like, it actually doesn't protect you from anything. It just film fools. That's
but
all
but
it's
like,
doing.
See, if something happened, like, because, like, I for instance, I was coming off a roundabout going to a factory in Mallow, and a woman stepped off a footpath in front of me without looking. She was on her phone. I saw her. I braked at the last minute. She didn't see me or hear me. And she reported me.
Oh, I'm interested in this.
So I'm able to go back and that thing, like, and show, look, this is what she did. She was on her phone. I stopped. So
after all of that, she called the guards, is it?
No, she rang the crow company that I was going into. Rang them. But they didn't come back to me for a week later. See, I didn't have the footage then. Like, see, I if nothing happens, like, I can if something happens, I can save it. But if nothing happens, I just delete it and use it every day. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the SIM card wouldn't be long building up. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of them would only have a 24-hour save on them. But had it recorded over or what?
No, I didn't take no notice of it. I thought nothing would happen over it. Like. So I just deleted it off my system. And then when I got the phone call in about it, like, it was only my word against her word, like.
You see, that could impact on your job as well, couldn't it?
Oh, it could, like. That's it. But, like, I tell you, the best time we had driving in any truck driver, if I tell you, was lockdown. The roads were so quiet. Like, the driving scores come up in our trucks. And all the scores were nearly hitting 100%. Because we had no traffic on the road, we had no cars dealing with nothing on the road. We were driving away ourselves.
And what are the scores? How does that work?
Just your, like, how you're driving and how you're braking and distance you're keeping from the vehicle in front of you and stuff like that. So, like the modern truck today, like, can tell you everything. How many times you press the brake and what speed you're doing. Like, if you rang my boss now this morning and said, like, Aiden was caught speeding through this village, he can look back through the computer, tell me exactly what speed I was doing in that village. The whole lot.
I mean, I know you guys are great drivers, don't get me wrong, but I was driving in the ring road from the west the other day, and the speed limit goes to 120 and it drops down to 100. I was in the inside lane at 100 and an Arctic passed me and it had to be doing 120, 125 kilometres.
Very, very rare. Nobody.
How can they go that fast?
Well, somebody's doing something for them because it's impossible.
I swear to God, because I remember making a note of it in my own brain, saying, hang on a second, well, I'm doing 100. He's gone past me like a bullet. How did that happen?
Long time ago, trucks, you could pull a fuse, you could do a bit of messing around, but modern trucks today have to be plugged in by a main dealer or a DOE centre to do this.
Okay. Okay, you're also talking, and I won't name the company, of a buddy of yours, truck driver. I know it was minor damage in the last few weeks. Bullied by a car driver trying to get into the...
This morning, one of my colleagues, he was in traffic at roadworks, and there was two lanes in the roadworks, but there's only room for, there'd be room for two cars, but not a truck and a car.
Okay, okay.
So he was kind of staggering the lanes, and a van pushed his way in front of him and caught the front of his lorry, so...
You're seeing all of the aggression then. You're seeing the truck is only three weeks old, incidentally. So it's a big investment. Yeah. So you're seeing the aggression and the stupid driving. And clearly, just finishing where we started this morning, that video, after that dope corrected and pulled back in across back to his own lane or her own lane, I don't know who it is, what happened next?
She continued on down to the roundabout and went off in for Carrigaline.
Jeez, I'm looking at it again. Oh,
I tried to get up alongside her because I was going for the Ring of City Port, so I kind of got alongside her and I got a glimpse of a woman definitely driving the car. So, but she was trying to get away as fast as possible.
I wonder, did she realise how close to death she actually came?
Maybe she's seen the video.
Oh my God, every time I look at it, I recommend
anybody to get a dash cam because, like, my daughter's learning how to drive now at the moment, and I'm afraid for her. Like.
And so you should be. It's not her driving, it's the other people that are on the roads.
Yeah, well, my grandfather taught people how to drive and always watched the other people, is it?
All right, stay safe, Adrian. Thanks for that. Check out the video yourself if you want. It is almost a carbon copy of a couple of weeks ago on Cars Hill, except that it didn't lead to a crash, but my God, it was only inches away. And I believe if Adrian hadn't blown the big air horn, the woman who was driving, while clearly distracted, and I would hazard texting or reading a text, looked up and saw I'm on the wrong side of the road, a car coming at her, and swerved back into her own side again. It is the height of ignorance and unbelievably selfish. Back after the break, text 0868 104 106. Thanks.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
There's a very interesting text on this because people obviously have been looking at the video that we just discussed there a couple of seconds ago. Vincent said, you can't teach stupid. That's absolutely spot on. You can't teach stupid.
Yeah,
and then it's a bit like a bus then. One comes along and two comes along and three and four, and before you know it, we've loads of examples of stupid driving. Heather, good morning. So,
good morning,
how are you, girl? You were driving to Middleton. Now, I don't know the low road, but obviously it's an approach road to Middleton, is it?
It's, do you know why you come down from Silver Springs?
Oh, you're not, so it wasn't Middleton at all. It's the lower road in the city.
But I was going to Middleton, but it's going into one lane at the moment. Like, there's cones on the right side coming up to the roundabout. So, I was gone down Silver Springs, and then when you're coming to...
Ah, right, okay. So you're down at the roundabout end, okay, at the roundabout before you go into the Dunkettle stuff. Yeah. And what did you see?
So my husband was driving, we were in the right lane, and then we just saw all the cones, so... indicated to go left, and everyone saw that it's merging into one lane, so everyone is letting everyone in. But there was a small car, and she was next to us. She had a phone in her right hand that was literally up to her face, not next to her ear, talking into it, and then a vape in her left hand.
So how's she doing the steering?
I think she's kind of holding the steering wheel with her right hand, with the phone hand, and then just putting it back up. But she was puffing away on the vape at the same time as well.
So both hands occupied,
Yeah. She didn't see us, so the next car let us in, but she was none the wiser that it was going into one lane and everyone was merging. And then we got onto the roundabout, went down to Middleton, and do you know where it goes to 120?
I do well.
On that road to Middleton. We were just driving along there, and we just passed her looking down, still on the phone, and that was a good bit further. I don't even know how she got that far.
So I would surmise then that she never got off the phone at all from Silver Springs all the way to Middleton.
No.
And how old was the car? Any idea?
Oh, it was, I'd say it was, I don't know if she would have had a Bluetooth now.
That's where I was going with this, Would it be, even if you have an old car, here's the stupidity of people.
It was 2011.
Well, it would have probably Bluetooth.
Yeah.
You can get a small
little cables and...
Sorry, I cut across you. Go ahead, Heather. You can get what?
No, you're right. You can get the cables, to the old or cars before Bluetooth. You would have had a cable to plug in your phone into the car or just put it on loudspeaker or, it's not like it was an emergency because she was just chatting and vaping and then still doing it when we passed her again and looking down for the whole journey, the times we passed
ignorant,
her.
It's ignorant, it's brazen, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's given two fingers to everybody else. There is a gadget that you can buy online now. It plugs into your cigarette lighter. It's a tiny little yoke. It even has USB chargers on it. You tune your radio into a frequency on this little gadget, usually up around 107 on the FM band. And away you go. You can make and take calls.
I had that on my old car, I have Bluetooth on my new one, but the old one didn't. And I had one of those things to listen to music. But ever since all hearing about these accidents lately, I'm so glad it's being highlighted because, there's so many dangerous drivers out there and, I'll just have my phone set off to the Bluetooth and put my phone, away, and then you can ask the Bluetooth to send a text. There's no reason you need to be on your phone,
No, but it's just it's as if they must feel as if they're invisible or something, that people don't see it. I mean, I don't know, there probably wouldn't be anything could be done if you rang the guards about that because there would be no evidence to prove it. She'd have to be caught doing it and then she'd get €120 fine and 3 penalty points. But I don't think that's enough myself. I really don't. I think there should be a ban.
Oh, definitely, it's just way too high risk,
And maybe only a ban, but a ban, and after the ban, even if it's a 3-month ban, resit your test all over again kind of thing.
Yeah, I know someone mentioned it a while back about, people should actually do a rules of the road test, even pedestrian cyclists, and I think that would actually be an amazing idea as well, because, it's people not paying attention on the scooter things and pedestrians and cyclists as well. And I was walking home yesterday, it was yesterday in Mayfield in the crossroads there, and I waited for the green man to come on to cross the road, and 3 cars went and the green man was on. And there's a gap in between the red light and the green man.
Is that lack of concentration or just people in so much of a rush?
They're just in a rush. Everyone's in a rush to get nowhere.
Here's one for you. I was driving not too far from your experience. I was driving from Middleton to Carrigtwohill yesterday morning. I couldn't believe what I saw. This guy in a Toyota Corolla van, 06, was driving very handy. Actually, that would mean speed. I was thinking it looked so fresh for a 06 car. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. That's what he was looking at the car. It looked so well. So he ends up looking in the window and he sees your man inside in it rolling a cigarette with both hands and his knees steering the van.
Oh, yeah.
That's a ban. That should be a ban.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh, definitely.
We need to get serious about this.
I know. It's scary.
All right. Thanks so much, Heather. Thanks for listening. Thanks for getting involved in the conversation. Laura, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Neil. How are you?
Thank you for your text and coming on air. It just never ceases to amaze me. Anyway, what did you see?
I was approaching Lakeview roundabout the other day coming east, and there was a guy in a 320 BMW in the overtaking lane, so he would be heading off to the Whitegate direction. and he was weaving over and back and over and back. I didn't know if he was coming into my lane or not, so I kept back. And then as we approached the roundabout, traffic kind of went a little bit slower, but we were still moving, and I glanced across. He had his phone in his right hand, focused on that. He had a vape in his left hand, and he was steering with his knees.
His knees?
He was steering with his knee. I couldn't believe it. So I beeped. He looked at me, male in his late 20s. I was horrified, absolutely horrified. And then he went around the roundabout and struck back up as if to go to the Cork direction again. But I see it on a daily basis. I see it on a daily basis. I drive the link. And the other day, another thing, somebody else weaving in and out of traffic. And I was in the slow lane or whatever lane, the undertaking lane or whatever. She was in the overtaking lane.
Yeah.
And she was again weaving over and back. And she was doing the 100, 104, 105 and slowing back. And then somebody else pulled out in front of her. She hit her brakes. And yeah, she was eventually turned off towards the Douglas direction. As I looked across, she was deep in her phone. She was looking at her phone, glancing up and down, glancing up and down.
Even after the emergency braking and the avoidance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I see it on a daily basis. You know when someone's weaving, they're on their phone. Their eyes are taken off the road. So, yeah, but the one, driving with his phone in one hand, vape in the other.
Steering with his knee. You see,
he was watching the phone, not the road.
Yeah, no, clearly, and it only takes a split second, and that's what we saw in Carras Hill a fortnight ago, and the video from Saturday morning, so similar that it could have resulted exactly the same way, very same pattern, literally flowing right across to the other side of the road. But it makes you end up thinking, like, when we hear of all of these crashes, there could be very genuine reasons for a crash. An accident is an accident.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of driver error. A lot of bad driving, obviously, but there's driver error. People just not concentrating and everyone's in a rush. I just came down the road there a minute ago now from in the Tokyo direction, and a guy was heading towards Douglas and decided at the very last second, no, that's not the road, the route he wanted to take. And shot across a Skoda Octavia. He hit his brakes. I was like, oh my God. And then he struck on. He undertook three or four vehicles and then shot out again, heading towards the tunnel.
Yeah, so we all then can end up thinking that every single crash involves a moron. And we end up having less kind of respect or less, you know, less sympathy when we come across crashes. Do you know what I mean? Because we're thinking...
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. We draw conclusions and we shouldn't. Because some people, you know, it's an innocent person that gets hit at times.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
we can draw conclusions all we want. But I have a dash cam in the car and it's been a saving grace for a number of incidents where somebody has said, oh, no, you put it. No, listen, I have the footage. Let me show you this, you know. And then they're like, oh, well, okay, yeah. So the dash cam, front and rear, are absolutely...
You're well teched up there. And in all of the experiences that you come across, is it both sexes? Is it all ages?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People blame young lads for an awful lot of stuff. And to be honest, the majority I see of people are in their 30s, 40s on their phones.
What is the preoccupation with mobile phones that they just can't be put away for a period of time or use a hands-free kit?
I just don't know. But if when something happens, then it's, oh God, listen, the first thing that will be checked is their phones. I mean,
but you know what it is? We sum it up with that really funky term, FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, everybody has Bluetooth now in their cars at this point in time, so there really is no excuse for it.
No, but it also leads me to believe that maybe they're not answering texts, they're so moronic, and maybe they're not responding or reading. Maybe they're scrolling. Maybe they're actually driving cars while on Snapchat or TikTok.
Yeah, I don't know, but I see it on a daily basis, and there should be more unmarked vehicles having a look into people's cars as driving along. And seeing what they're doing. There's an awful lot of stupidity out there and an awful lot of really, really bad driving.
Well, we come back to Vincent. Thank you for that, Laura. We come back to Vincent, who says you can't teach stupid. Ellen says, wow, this is the Carras Hill video footage. Check it out for yourself if you don't believe me. What an idiot behind the wheel. Hopefully the number is passed on to the Gardaí so this idiot can be dealt with. Absolutely. You know, in a case like that, automatic ban, big fine, off the road for a period of time, reset the test, because clearly they've forgotten how to drive safely. Went to the guards in Carrigaline just before closing 7 p.m. to show them an incident this morning on Cars Hill. The guard had no interest in it. She looked at her watch first, then asked me, why can't you download the clip? Not quite sure what that means, but certainly observed something going on in the Cars Hill. That, I hate that stretch of road. I hate two stretches of road. One is the Mallow Road, no disrespect. And also, Cars Hill, I hate driving on them, particularly at dark and particularly in winter. Julia says, dash cam is the only way to go. Report, report, report. Bring the video footage to the Gardaí every time. It's the only way to make our roads safer. Karen says, this is awful. My God, will people ever learn? Put away the damn phone. Bernie, I've never in my 40 years of driving witnessed such bad and dangerous driving than in the past couple of years. People are taking chances, hogging outside lanes, on their mobile phones, having a clue what's going on around them, speeding. They haven't a clue how to control the car at that speed. Absolutely reckless. I could go on, but there is no point. Do you ever see the characters that wear headphones? I mean, the big, big headphones on their head. I'm not talking about pods now, the full thing. That's another insane driving habit because you are completely detached from what's happening around you. A couple of weeks back, I was driving on a country road slowly. Very, very, very back road, driving slowly. There was a woman ahead who had big, huge headphones on her, and she had two or three dogs on leads. And I was driving slowly. So she's completely engrossed in what's ever being listened to on the phones, right? One dog, just as I'm passing, bolts. Dogs on leads now, so that's fine at least. And the dog bolted out into the middle of the country road that it was on. And I braked hard. There's never a chance it was going to hit the dog. I saw him from time. But she was so preoccupied because she was on headphones. Big ones now, right? The big ones, like the ones I'm wearing right now at this time, that she got an awful shock when she saw, firstly, she saw the dog bolting. And all of a sudden, out of her left-hand corner of her eye, she would have seen my car. My God, she left a roar out of her and started roaring and screaming abuse at me. Slow down, will you? Slow down. And clearly, she was completely detached because of the headphones, and she actually did not know what was going on. Firstly, well, among other things, maybe lastly, you don't go out with three dogs on leads wearing big headphones walking on roads now, do you?
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Okie dokie, we'll pick up on all of the business in the morning, particularly your thoughts on what should happen if somebody captures somebody else on a mobile phone or weaving on the road and brings it to the Gardaí. What should it be? More than a fine? Huh? Do you think? More than a fine and three penalty points? We need to get serious about this, really. Text 0868 104 106. Keep your stories coming. That's the way I want to finish up, actually, with a true story. Because Mary Meaney has written a book about her dad, Mick Meaney, well known the length and breadth of Ireland and at one stage all over the world, but much loved in Mitchelstown for many a long year. Because I want to take you back to 1968, all right, when Mick Meaney was entombed alive in an underground coffin for 61 days. It was a world record-breaking attempt. He was successful. He was buried alive underground for 61 days. And that's the crux of the book, really, among other things. I just need a line number for that, and I'm happy to belt away then because I don't have a line number. Just bang up a number for me and I will know where I'm going because I want to chat with her. Line 4. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mary, good morning. Apologies for that. A little bit of housekeeping. So the book is called You Can't Eat Roses, Mary. Is that the flower or the chocolates?
No, the flower.
Okay.
There's a kind of double meaning in the meaning of the book is in the middle of the book.
So you have it written, right? And you're looking for a publisher. Yeah. But there was huge coverage because when I knew you were coming on, I Googled it. There's video footage from television back in the 60s. The BBC were interested. The Americans were interested. What was that all about?
You see, I self-published the book, but I would like to get it really published.
Yeah, of course.
Because TV3 are doing a documentary for Christmas and they're featuring Mick Meaney, and myself and my son were on it. So I was just thinking, I was jumping, I'll jump on my father's coattails. The perfect timing to get my book published.
Absolutely. And I had a flick through it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to sit down and read the entire thing, not yet anyway. But I have the fair gist of it. So this was in the 1960s when there was a bit of a graw for people being buried alive to break all sorts of records. And your dad decided, I'm going to give that a go.
He decided. He got trapped in 1956 in Birmingham in some kind of a cave. And
sorry, I missed that. Are you referencing the accident where he was buried alive a few years previous to that? What happened?
Oh yeah, he wasn't buried alive, but he was trapped. He was working as a labourer in Birmingham, and he got hurt. He was trapped, and all he found was an air pocket to breathe. So he got the idea, if I could, you know, relax and calm my mind and be in the present moment, you know, I could do it for real. So he kind of got the idea in that moment.
So he decided then, this is all in London, of course. Where was he born and reared? I know there's a Mitchelstown connection, but that wouldn't be the homeland, no?
Oh, no, Ballyporeen.
Ballyporeen. So he went over many did as a builder to work in London, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And did he team up then with some people he was there to help him to break this world record? Because there was some individual that held the record at something like 55 days or something, was it?
Yeah, Dick Ordell. He broke the world record. He was in America.
Right.
He went down because he did 45 days.
45?
Because he wanted to come up. He went protesting about the price of gasoline in America.
He buried himself alive. So your dad said, I could do that standing up kind of thing or lying down in a coffin. So did somebody fashion the big coffin from then?
Dick Dooley, he was 5'8 in height. Dick Woolley, and the coffin would measure 6'3 long, 2'6 wide and 2 feet high. And there was 2 foam pillows and a rubber lining. And he was buried 8 feet into the ground.
8 feet underground and in the backyard of a pub or something, was it?
Yeah, backyard of a pub.
Right.
Did he have an air pocket?
Because I see some of the old TV footage, people were able to talk down through a tube to him or something.
There was ventilation provided by 2 7-foot cast iron pipes. And he could be fed, and they say he smoked and he drank a few pints and everything.
Did he really? What about the cigarette smoke down in the coffin?
No. He was very happy when he was under the ground because he had a dream of being world famous, and maybe he went down in life to come up in life because, you know, he was over there with the pick and the shovel. You know, lots of the Irish are called forgotten Irish back then.
They were,
And that dream, he thought, would take him all property and come home.
So 61 days, that's a long time each and every day. Did he kind of sleep the night, or how did he pass the time down there? Were people constantly calling to chat with him, media calling, things like that?
Oh, I think he was never bored because he did his exercise, he was on his lubrication oil, and people would come all day and all night to speak to him. And sometimes he'd recognise the voice. He'd say, oh, that's you, Jimmy. You know, so...
And they'd maybe tie a few pint bottles to a bit of rope or something, pass it down to him for a few drinks?
I think everything was put in containers and it down to him.
What about food?
Same thing, in containers, yeah. So he ate very well, actually, he'd steak and...
I'm not going to go into much detail about it, but certainly with regards to, you eat food, it has to go somewhere. You drink liquids, that has to go somewhere. Did they fashion some kind of an underground way of getting rid of waste and stuff and everything like that?
I think there was kind of a hatch, and you put out the hatch and then you put lime in it or something like that. Yeah.
All right.
It was very primitive back then.
Well, we did a competition years ago of living it to win, which was people living in cars to win the cars, and it went. I think it went a lot longer than 61 days at one stage. It went on for at least a couple of months, if not longer. So people are still up for the challenge, but a coffin underground. Now that's a different matter entirely. Were you very small then?
I must have been about three, and they said Because back then there was no phones or anything, so they used to bring me down to the local guard and I could speak to him. But I don't remember that because I was only 3.
So you don't do you remember the fact that you were talking to him buried in a coffin?
No, no.
Too young to remember that. So after 61 days then, he figured that the new world record was secure and won.
But it wasn't put into Guinness Book of Records. So
that's,
everything,
that's something that annoyed him, right?
Yeah. And you see, he always wanted to be a boxer, like his hero, Joe Louis. So in his mind, he had, you know, thought like a boxer. There's a winner and a loser. And, you know, so everything would be equal and everything would be fair and square, but life isn't fair and square.
Yeah, they said that they couldn't put him in the Guinness Book of Records because it wasn't monitored officially or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But like Diana Dors used to come visiting, very famous actress, and Jack Doyle used to sing to him, The Gorgeous Gael.
Yeah, and Diana Dors gave him the trophy. It was won by Alan Ruskin. He was a boxer. So, at the time, it was, you know, it was very, you were all the famous stars of the time.
They were all wanted to be there with a photograph, particularly when he came up. So, yeah. He had a big, among other things, he had a big bushy beard on him, didn't he?
I know, and he looked like a lord, you know, the long beard. Yeah, and the day before, then he shaved his beard, and Gillis wanted to pay him to sponsor, you know, their product.
Yeah.
Gave him the beer, but just bad luck. He shaved it the day before.
Oh, he'd have got a few bob from Gillette to shave it with their blades. Yeah. So up he came anyway, yeah, to huge celebrations, I'm sure, right? What about the rest of his life after that?
He got a job in the council and he was very happy. You know, he was known as the human JCB. He had literally, he wasn't a tall man, he was only 5'8". His hand like a shovel, he had great human strength. He could I've seen him as a child put a tree over his shoulder and walk.
For such a small man, he had ferocious power, yeah, didn't he? And yeah, and it's so the record then lasted for how long? Did anybody ever break it subsequently, 61 days in a tomb?
I don't think it ever got the same attraction because back then, you know, you had the Irish discrimination was rife. It was a perfect storm for everything. It gave the Irish hope that one of their own broke a world record.
Absolutely.
And then years later, he went down in Anglesborough and he went down in Kilworth, you know, he went down to bury the life for charity.
Jenny Mac, that's amazing. Did he retire then back to the Mitchelstown area, or back to Ballyporeen, or what?
No, he married a Mitchelstown woman, so he stays in Elenbury Gowan.
Oh, he never came home then?
Oh, no, he came back to Mitchelstown. He retired in Brigown.
That's it, yeah. He retired to Mitchelstown. Yeah. Passed away at the age of 82.
Oh, no, he died on the 17th of February 2003. No, he was...
I'm sorry, all of my numbers are here wrong. My apologies for that. So how old was he when he passed away?
I think he was in his 50s. He had the worst death possible. He died. I think he had the hero's death.
The fire, wasn't it?
He died.
Oh, his fortune.
But there was no fire.
Wasn't there?
He didn't smoke and there was no fire. So it was one of those mysteries of life, how he got burnt in the house fire. So...
You are joking me. There was no signs of fire and he didn't smoke?
No, so we don't know what happened. And he spent 9 weeks dying. No, and he couldn't, because he couldn't speak and eventually the morphine didn't work. So in one way, being buried alive helped him live longer because he had that place to go to where his body and mind were one.
Still in all, it's a tragic end, though. Sorry. Incidentally, there is a really nice Wikipedia page to your dad where his date of birth and his date of death are incorrect. You might want them to fix that for you. But it's an incredible story, though. The book is written...
So it's his anniversary. We put Mitchelstown people came together, and it was lovely. And there was a time capsule in Lewis Graham Mitchelstown in honour of him. So and there's a picture of his face when he came up out of the coffin, so it's beautiful.
A handsome looking man he was too. So there are publishers. Have you sent the manuscript around?
Loads of them, and I'm like my father now. I have a finalized mind. I'm not taking no for an answer.
And like, have you sent them to national publishers as well as local? Have
Everywhere. You tried?
Yeah, have you tried Mercia Press or Collins Press and people?
Yeah, Mercia Press. Like, no, they wouldn't because we're already self-published.
They said what?
It's already self-published, so they wouldn't publish a book that's already self-published.
That's a shame.
I only published 300, like, so it isn't exactly saturated.
Oh, did you publish 300 bound books, is it?
Myself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you'd like to scale it up, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The big difference with self-publishing and actually going into Tesco and say, I buy butter, bread, milk, and there's my book. By Mary Meaney, you know.
No, you need to have it properly distributed. Makes a huge, big difference. It certainly does. Listen, I'm out of time now, but I'd love to carry on this conversation at a later date, having made a couple of calls to a few publishers to see if they might be interested in reading the book or perhaps taking an interest in it. How about that?
I love that.
Okay, really. I can't promise anything, but we can certainly make a couple of calls. Unfortunately, I have to leave it there for now, though. Appreciate you taking the call, Mary Meaney. We will chat again regarding her father. How many of you knew that story? I never knew anything about it until it came to my attention earlier in the week. 61 days in a coffin underground. The late, great Mick Meaney. Text 0868104106. The lines will stay open. I'm over time. Have a good day. I will see you tomorrow.
When Cork talks,
Cork people blow my mind.
They talk to Neil Prendeville
on Red FM.